Good Friday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Fri-yay. Finally Friday. We made it, or we're getting there. Got to get through today yet for many of us who are working today. Starting out on a mild note, we're mostly clear, 48 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Our winds are out of the northwest at 7. We're looking for a couple of nice days here, sunny, 60 for our high today, 70 tomorrow. There is a chance of rain. That'll be late in the day if we see it. A better chance of rain on Sunday. Windy Saturday and Sunday. We'll see winds up to 30 miles an hour both days. And Sunday looks like afternoon showers. Pretty good chance we'll see some of those passing through. But 70 for our high Saturday, 72 on Sunday, only 57 for our high on Monday, and more chances of rain in the forecast for next week. A 33-year-old man from Colgate, North Dakota, was killed when the combine he was driving was hit by a train near Page. Happened about 11 yesterday morning. The man died at the scene. His name has not been released. The State Patrol says 20 train cars derailed during the collision, sending cargo into fields along the tracks. The road that crosses the tracks is closed while authorities investigate and cleanup can be done. The North Dakota Supreme Court has rejected Spencer Moen's appeal for a new trial. Moen was convicted in the beating death of his wife, Sonia, more than 2 years ago in West Fargo. His attorneys argued for a new trial since two of his own kids were allowed to testify remotely, believing his right to confront them in person was denied. But the court said if the minors were allowed to testify in front of Moen in person, it would re-traumatize the children. Fargo Police will hold their first neighborhood beat meeting on Wednesday, October 15th at Roosevelt Elementary from 6 to 7 p.m. Chief Dave Zabolski says the department was invited by neighborhood associations to give information on crime and traffic and for people to ask questions. Zabolski asked other neighborhood associations to contact the department to set up more meetings. Thousands packed Chester Fritz Performing Arts Center in Grand Forks last night to celebrate the life and message of Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk. The event, part of This Is the Turning Point tour, featured headline speaker Glenn Beck. UND estimates a crowd at about 2,000 people. Beck spoke for more than 90 minutes, closing his remarks with a simple message: for Christ, for country. Chevron's recent merger has led to hundreds of jobs lost in North Dakota. The energy company announced this past summer it completed a merger with Hess on July 18th. Chevron then announced a plan for nationwide layoffs as a result of the merger beginning in late September. It's now resulted in 63 lost jobs in Minot and 48 in Tioga. Chevron says it's offering severance benefits and outplacement support. Fargo Cass Public Health is spreading the word about their upcoming walk-in flu shot clinics this month. Flu Shot Friday events will be held at their headquarters on 25th Street South in Fargo, both on October 17th and the 31st. Anyone 6 months or older can receive the vaccine, and they are the higher doses that will be available for seniors. Fargo Cass Public Health says a vaccine may help reduce the severity of the illness and also prevent the spread. An entertaining brand of baseball is headed to Fargo next summer. Banana Ball, introduced by the Savannah Bananas, is set to bring its untraditional style of play to Newman Outdoor Field as part of a national tour. Those interested in attending the games have to join a lottery pool on the Banana Ball website to be eligible to purchase tickets. The deadline for lottery entries is October 31st, but joining the list does not guarantee you will get tickets. The games will be on June 26th and 27th. I would love to go.
They put on a different style of baseball. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I know James has watched more of it than I have, and I'm just still amazed because the Savannah Bananas. I mean, my wife is from Savannah, and it's one of those things where I saw the signs around Savannah back almost 25 years ago when their minor league baseball team was known as the Savannah Sand Gnats, mm-hmm. and they were just a normal minor league baseball team. But obviously, new ownership rebranded it, wanted to do something different to bring in the fans. And now
the fans they bring
now,
in.
Now they've created a style of baseball that is not traditional baseball. It's fun. It's engaging. They now have, I believe this season, they had four different teams. And the two teams that are supposed to be playing at Fargo are the Firefighters, yep. and then the Clowns,
correct.
Which I don't know if the Clowns are our current team or if that's a new one for next year. But
Indianapolis Clowns?
Yeah, they are expanding the number of brands of teams. And So Savannah, you've got the party animals, the firefighters, the clowns. I don't know if I'm missing a couple or not, but it'll be fun. It's going to be sold out.
And like how many people are going to try to get tickets and how, you know, only a certain amount.
Only a certain amount.
What, 4,000?
I don't even know what they
2,500?
I don't even know what Newman holds. I just know that it's going to be sold out. I mean, that's a fact right there. So, you know, get your name in the lottery and hope that you win so that way you can get tickets to go see the game because it's going to be a fun time.
Let me see. Oh, yeah, over 4,000. 4,172 people they can fit into Newman. Will they sell that many tickets? I don't know. We'll see.
We'll find out.
Yeah, and it's a Friday and Saturday, again, June 26th and 27th. And, again, if you want to go to that, go to the Banana Ball website. I did. And
You put your name in?
No, I couldn't get past our
security.
Yeah, system was kind of flagging it as this might be a dangerous site, which it's not.
Well, you never know.
I'll do it from home.
There you go.
And two Eden Prairie, Minnesota brothers have won a national award for their fishing gear lending libraries. Vic and William Tan created Fish Hut to help with youth mental health struggles by making fishing more accessible. Fish Hut boxes are full of fishing supplies that are available for people to borrow at libraries and YMCAs. So far, they've created 50 of them. They can be found in various public places throughout Minnesota, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. The brothers received a $10,000 grant. They plan to use the money to meet their new goal of 1,000 boxes nationwide.
Oh, I thought it was just a new chain of sit-down family fish restaurants.
No. This is a really cool idea. Good for them. I mean, that's neat.
It is. 5:07, time for a check on sports with me.
Was it busy last night in sports?
I don't know.
The weekend's going to be busy.
I was just waiting for you to introduce me.
Oh,
that's
Jay
all
Stedman's here now. Why? We were already talking. We were already looking into each other's eyes. Jay Stedman has your WDAY Radio Sports.
Last night, Major League Baseball playoffs continued. We'll have one game tonight. Let me look at the scores here for everyone. Tonight's game is going to be the Tigers and Mariners. They are tied at two games apiece. Mariners will host this one. First pitch scheduled for 7:08. Last night, a little bit of a surprise here, just for the simple fact that the Cubs extend the Brewers to a game 5, which should be on Saturday, I believe. But the Cubs win 6-0 against the Brewers. They tie that series at two games apiece. And our very own Dean Wysocki from Chicago area.
Huge fan.
Didn't really think they were going to continue on in this series. My next door neighbor is a huge Cubs fan as well. There's a lot of Cubs fans across the country. That's what happens. Like I said, when I was a kid, I used to watch Chicago Bulls all the time because of the same channel, WGN, had all the games on. You didn't have to pay for it. So anyway, Cubs win 6-0. They'll force a game 5. On the other game, Phillies at the Dodgers last night. Phillies needed a win to force a game 5. Unfortunately, it went to extra innings, and in the bottom of the 11th, I turned the game on to check the score. Of course, my wife was like, "Why are you watching baseball?" I'm like, "I want to see the score and
I
see
like
the end
baseball.
Of it." I tolerate it sometimes, but it's playoffs.
Oh, that's right. You're not a huge baseball fan.
No, but the bases were loaded. Phillies needed to get the out to get to the 12th inning, but it's tied at 1. Bases are loaded for the Dodgers. Ball gets hit back to the Phillies pitcher. In a rush, he knocks it down. He didn't field it cleanly. All you got to do is to throw it to any one of the bases, get the third out because there was two outs, and get to the next inning. He gets flustered after the ball comes right back to him on a ground ball. He stops it, but when he picks it up to throw it home, he rushes his throw, and he throws it out in front of the catcher, so he is not able to catch it and get the force out at home. So the Dodgers win the ball game, and they win that series 3-1. So they advance, and they're waiting for the winner of the Brewers and Cubs. Just like on the other side of the bracket in the American League, Toronto is, after their victory against the Yankees the other night, they are waiting for the winner of that Seattle-Detroit game, which will be tonight. Let's see, Minnesota Wilds, they had their season opener last night in St. Louis, and the Gus Bus, he stopped everything that was thrown at him. Philip Gustavson gets the shutout and a 5-0 win for the Wild in the season opener. Gus made 26 saves in the shutout, while Kirill Kaprizov had 3 assists. Ryan Hartman scored twice in the victory, while Joel Eriksson-Ek, Marco Rossi, and Matt Boldy also lit the lamp. Wild are now, of course, 1-0 after one game. I don't know how people can do the math on that one. They host the Blue Jackets tomorrow night at Grand Casino Arena.
There you go.
Formerly known as the X. should still be the X, but whatever.
I wonder what the locals down in the cities are calling it.
They'll probably still call it the X for
a while. Sure. Yeah.
Minnesota Timberwolves, they kind of faded down the stretch in a 195 preseason loss to the Knicks. But when I had first turned it on the first half, I saw some of the starters out there. When I turned it on later on, I think we had both of our rookie centers out there. Berenger and Rocco Zakarski were both out there. Rob Dillingham played. So, I mean, a lot of our reserves were playing. That's because we were up by 7, I believe it was. And then the Knicks in this sequence ended up hitting 3 threes in a row, and we had missed some shots. Rob had made a shot, but they called him for a push-off, and it was like, really? I don't really think that was quite a foul, but whatever.
Well, good that the young guys are getting some playing.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what preseason about.
Right,
so they lose 195. Anthony Edwards had 17 points. Julius Randle had 16. Wolves are 1-2 in exhibition play. They visit the Chicago Bulls, good grief, not till next Thursday, so they've got almost a week off to fix things. Mm. Minnesota Vikings, they are entering their bye weekend this weekend. They're in third in the North with a 3-2 record. Minnesota returns to action with the game hosting Philadelphia.
Oh.
And I was catching the score of the Eagles-Giants game, and at the half it was 20-17. And then I get up this morning and I'm looking at highlights of Cam Scataboo, their rookie running back out of Arizona State. He's one of those guys, he's going to put his head down and run over somebody.
Okay.
He was ripping his shirt off along with Ryan Fitzpatrick on the post-game show.
Oh.
So needless to say, the New York Giants pulled the upset last night. They get a couple touchdowns in the second half. They beat the Eagles 34-17. So riddle me this, Bonnie. The Giants are 2-4 now.
Yeah.
The two wins are against the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles last night, where they won by double digits. They have also won against the Los Angeles Chargers, who are thought to be a playoff team. Mm. And yet, in between those two impressive victories, where you think, okay, the Giants are going to be okay this year, they lose to one of the worst teams in the league, the New Orleans Saints. So make that make sense to me.
It doesn't. You just wonder how that works sometimes.
I'm just like, oh, you beat the Chargers. Then they go, and they go, oh, so we're going to lose against the Saints. All right. Then last night, you get the Eagles in town, and you pull off a win there. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. FCS action this weekend. The big boys around the region here, North Dakota, is going to host Youngstown State, which will be a tough match, which should be a good game. North Dakota State welcomes Southern Illinois. That's another good game. South Dakota State's at home against Northern Iowa, and South Dakota visits Indiana State. College hockey, North Dakota has a home-and-home against St. Thomas this weekend, while Augie, one of the newer teams in Division I hockey, they are visiting Minnesota Duluth for a two-game series. Football on our family of stations. First on our sister station, DGF, Dilworth, Glenn, and Felton is going to host Barnesville. Kickoff at 7 p.m. with Big Game James McCarty and myself. Then Saturday morning, we'll get up and we'll follow the Dragons out to Bismarck as they take on University of Mary in the battle for the paddle. We'll have a 1 p.m. pregame show, a 2 p.m. kickoff, and we'll have all the action over there on the flag. Right here on WDAY, Larry Knutson, the legend himself, got a couple games this week. And Moorhead will take on St. Michael Albertville at Moorhead, and then on Saturday morning, he'll get up and head down to the cities as the Concordia Cobbers travel to take on Hamlin in their homecoming matchup. 1 p.m. kickoff with Larry covering all the action. And no primetime sports tonight because we have football.
And I know they're not home until next week because we have tickets to give away. You're wearing your Force
pullover.
Are the Force away games this weekend? Are
they playing? I thought I heard. I don't know why I thought I overheard it. I thought the Force were in Nebraska taking on Tri-City, but I'll have to look where they're at this weekend. But, yeah, they're on the road this weekend after last week's home opener. So they've played three games so far, two wins out in Pittsburgh basically at the kind of showcase. They get a point last weekend in a 2-1 shootout loss. They lost the shootout 3-2. And so this weekend they'll have a normal weekend, a couple games out in Tri-City. The next weekend we're going to have tickets for three different games.
We
got a
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Thursday, if you don't win tickets from us, tickets are just $5, I believe, for college students. I think it's college student night, and it's $2 beer night. So FYI for the beer drinkers
out
there.
It'll be packed that night, yeah.
It always is.
You might want to get your tickets ahead of time.
Well, there's always going to be a line for the beer, so I'm just saying.
Well, that's true, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, looking forward to it. Sunny today, 60 for our high temp. Winds out of the northwest at 5 to 10. 38 our overnight low. Tomorrow, partly sunny but windy, of course. Chance of rain late in the day. 70 for the high. South-southeast winds 20 to 30. 52 our overnight low. Another windy day on Sunday, Partly sunny, better chance of afternoon showers, 72 for the high, south winds 20 to 30. And Monday, only 57 for our high temp. I think Wednesday I saw 55 for the high temp. So cooler weather next week, and there's also more chances of rain next week. Right now it's mostly clear. We have 48 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. High top I 29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the northwest at 7. 5:16, your national news and sports from ABC, and then the song of the morning, question of the morning coming up. 5:22 on a Fri-yay. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, and you. We'll have Ken Duffy coming up in the 6 o'clock hour with your WDAY Radio news. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. His Cubbies won again. He might be a little late this morning, but he'll eventually be in. And big game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports. Also, since Friday, Steve Carney Outdoors will join us coming up at 7:10 this morning. We will talk duck hunting and archery season on the Minnesota side. Looks like maybe he's had some success with one of those hunts anyway. And then 8:10 Fridays, we do the Pick 6 with Big Game James McCarty, brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters Ram Jack North. James serves up 6 games. You decide who's going to win those games. It won't be the score of the Vikings game this week because they have a bye week, but he'll have a score of a certain game that you will also have to pick just in case we need a tiebreaker question. But we encourage you to get involved in that. Whoever wins, of course, has bragging rights, and you also win a fine prize. Question of the morn, what did your elementary school lunchbox look like? 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com, or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. That one there brings back some memories. Junior high bus trips to track meets and basketball games. Kid is Hot Tonight coming out in 1980, Loverboy. Question of the morning here on Bonnie and Friends. What did your elementary school lunchbox look like? We always post the question of the morning the day before on our Bonnie and Friends Facebook page, so you can weigh in that way. And if you're on Facebook and you haven't found us yet, look for us, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Give us a like, give us a follow, and follow along and interact with us. It's fun hearing from you guys throughout the day. We try to keep a watch on that. And also, something new Jay started a few weeks back when I was gone, and we're keeping it going, is Food Fight Friday. He's put a question up, something controversial regarding food. I didn't even look at the responses. I like to be surprised. I can't even remember the question. But that's also on our Bonnie and Friends Facebook page. 701-293-9000. You can email studio at WDAYradionow.com if you want to weigh in on our question of the morn. What did your elementary school lunchbox look like? Or you can drop your response on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Roger says, lunchbox. Who do you think we are, the Rockefellers? It was a brown paper bag and used it over and over and over again. Yeah, and you probably got, like, I don't know, 100 bags maybe for a quarter. Maybe even more than that back in the day. I remember, because I went to two different elementary schools, so I remember kindergarten through fourth grade. I was at the Von Steffensrud School in Chisholm, and we ate in the lunchroom. I don't recall bringing a bagged lunch, at least in the younger years. It was always hot lunch, because I'm sure, just like today, you know, if your family had an income over whatever, you qualified for free or reduced. I think we got reduced. A lot of mouths to feed in our family growing up, but it was reduced. So, I mean, you got a hot meal and stuff. So I do remember elementary, and we had phenomenal cooks in our elementary school line. And then I moved to fifth and sixth grade. I don't remember where the cafeteria in that new school was, but I remember one kid ended up getting sick after lunch one day, and it was what they served for lunch. But I think he had the stomach flu all over his social studies book. That's enough details on that situation. But I don't remember where the lunchroom was in my second elementary school, and that was later. That was
I
like
leave for
and
5 minutes to try and help
and
something on the other
and
station,
like,
and
doing?
All I... She's talking about somebody yakking on their social studies
book. I did not.
Book.
You took. I said you got sick.
Well, you know what that meant. You got sick on his social studies book.
I really could have gotten to graphic details. And he sat right next to me, too. And it's just like, oh, yeah.
But
But I remember vividly my kindergarten through fourth grade. I vividly remember the lunch line, mm-hmm. the lunch room, how everything worked. But I can't remember it from fifth and sixth grade. Probably because we just wanted to get through lunch and go outside and be naughty. Because
did
we
you
were.
Use the same lunchroom? I mean,
it was a different school. We moved to a different school.
We only had the one lunchroom my entire time I was in school, from kindergarten all the way through. Well, maybe not kindergarten, but.
Morning. Somebody's giving us a little honk this morning.
From grade school, when they built the new school, all the way through high school, we only had one lunchroom.
And did you eat every day, or were the things you didn't like?
There were certain things I didn't like, because who wants a veal patty on a bun?
I kind of liked those.
We had everything on a bun. Chicken patty on the bun.
Fish sticks. I love the fish sticks.
I hate
hamburger
fish
gravy over mashed potatoes.
The question was, like, what did your lunch box look like?
Well, what did your elementary school lunch box look like?
Well, my lunch box that I actually took one way, I would take a lunch. I want to say I had a Dukes of Hazzard one at one point. Maybe I did. But the one I use most often, I had an NFL one, and it had pictures of all the NFL team helmets on it. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I don't know if we still have those at my mom and dad's place, because I don't know if they'd be obviously worth anything or not.
Yeah, Mark said his elementary school lunchbox looks like a separated tray. That's what sparked my memory about school lunch. So I know through fourth grade that mm-hmm. I did do hot lunch. We never brought brown bag or lunchbox.
No.
And I remember I had two lunchboxes. I had a really mean – no, this would have been second grade, so I did have a lunchbox mm-hmm. that I must have used on occasion. We had a really mean teacher. Like, she would, like, pull your hair and mm-hmm. pinch you and stuff.
Yeah.
One of my friends grabbed my lunchbox for me. And they weren't, you know, they were tin, but they weren't, like, made out of any great materials. And the handle broke. She made that girl, Eva. I love Eva.
No.
She made her buy me a new lunchbox. And my family were like, well, no, it wasn't her fault. You know, it could have broken at any time. Nope. She made her buy me a new lunchbox. So the new one that she bought me was the Partridge Family. But I can't remember the one before. I want to say maybe it was Scooby-Doo, because I was a huge Scooby-Doo fan.
Could have been. But I think we had a Dukes of Hazzard one. And I know I had an NFL one. Hopefully if my sister's up and listening, she'll tell me which one she had. But she had one. And had the little thermos in there, and of course enough spot for, you know, a sandwich, you know, Ziploc bag or something. Like that. Didn't have Ziplocs at the time.
It always smelled funky out of those tin lunch boxes. Lunch kind of did. Maybe. It had a weird smell to it.
Well, if you have the thermos and you put milk in it, because of course me and my brother were big milk drinkers, you make sure you had to wash that.
No, it was just like the cheap tin gave off mm-hmm. a weird smell. I don't know. Dave in Grand Rapids, he was like the fancy. I always thought of these as the fancy kids. The Tupperware one, where, you know, you push the cover on, and then it had, like, straps that came up on top. Because mm-hmm. that was, like, the formal kids who were, like, you might have had a napkin in there, and you might have had a plastic fork and a spoon. You know what I'm talking about? He posted it on Facebook.
Yeah, ours was a metal one. It was an old school, just a, you know, square or rectangle one. And, you know, you just put as much stuff as you can fit in there. We did use sometimes, like, when we had, Vacation Bible School, we might take just a lunch. When we got older, especially when we were high schoolers, we had to take a lunch. Then you would just put it in a brown paper bag.
Yeah, we didn't use much, I suppose, because they cost money, whereas mm-hmm. if you bought the lunch box, you had the lunch box, and you could reuse it over and over again. Plus, my mom was used to packing a lunch for my dad.
He worked in the mine, so my dad
always took a lunch with.
Rochelle had said that she had either a Snoopy or a Charlie Brown one, she thought.
Cute.
I think hers was white with some type of colored trim around it, and my brother might have either inherited it from me because he was 5 years younger, or that one might have been just the one he had. But I thought my brother had Dukes of Hazzard, and I know I had the NFL one. I remember that.
Those lunch boxes, some people collect them, and some of those are worth pretty good mm-hmm. money now.
That's
if you
what
still
I'm saying,
have
yeah.
them, but we don't. I suppose after we got to a certain age, they probably got chucked, because you throw them around as kids mm-hmm. do, and they had dents and dings in them.
Yeah.
What did your elementary school lunch box look like? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn. 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Good Friday morning, Fri-yay! Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Looking like a pretty decent couple of days. I mean, our temperatures are way above where they should be. Today it'll be sunny, 60 for our high. Tomorrow, 70 for the high temp. It'll be windy, though, And there's a chance for rain late in the day tomorrow. Sunday, a better chance of rain, another windy day, but warm, 72 degrees. Yeah, we're not supposed to be in the 70s this time of year. That's not the norm. So I think, what, upper 50s or maybe? Because 2 weeks ago, Dean was saying when we were like 63, 64 degrees, he said we were above normal by quite a bit at that point. So
yeah, I thought maybe like the low 60s would even be high at this time of year. So, I mean, we're well above average right now.
We'll take it. The winds, yeah, that part kind of stinks, but what do you do? It'll be warmer anyway. Like today it won't be windy, but tomorrow will at least be, you know, 70, 72 tomorrow and Sunday when the winds pick up. So it'll at least, you know, still feel okay out there.
Yeah.
Clear right now. We have 48 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. High top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the northwest at 7. Our question of the morning: what did your elementary school lunchbox look like? Phones are open if you want to give us a call. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Terry says, ate lunch from the cafeteria. Most kids in their school did, made by the ladies. And that's what I said. Our first elementary school, like I said, through fourth grade, it was incredible. The lunch ladies made really good food.
Yeah. My my grandmother was one of the lunch ladies for the longest time.
Yeah.
So I'd get to see grandma. Actually, when I was in grade school then, I got to see grandma and my mom at lunch because my mom was the lunch clerk.
Oh, was she?
Because back in the day, I think she had some type of print off a chart for marking off which kids did, you know, went through the lunch line or whatever. But you had these cards, and so you had a table with all these cards set up. So you'd find the one with your name on it, then you'd hand it to my mom, and then she'd punch a hole in it.
Oh.
So that way you knew that you had 20 meals paid for by your folks, and you got to go through the lunch line that day.
Good memory. I don't remember that. All I remember is, you know, you either had free, reduced, or you had to pay full price. I remember we had reduced price meals, and I don't know how it worked once you got in line. I don't remember back that far, but.
Yeah. I mean, it was more of a by-hand system where, like, my daughter these days – and both of them technically did it, you know, because the oldest is out of high school. But every day or every week, I swear, I think I get a thing that says, you know, money's been automatically added to your child's account because, of course, I'm paying for her lunch. And, of course, lunch there at, like, say, West Fargo, they've got.
Is it the a la carte where she's
Yeah, kind of like two or three different options for your main entree, and then they get a drink or whatever. And a lot of times, Jaden will bring home a drink and a bag of chips or something she has at after school. So I'm not saying she doesn't have enough time to eat or anything, but, you know, she does everything slowly. So
I
like
think
that.
Some of the kids think it's not cool to eat at the school cafeteria, so the a la carte makes it more cool. Because I remember I don't even notice that Logan would do that. It'd be like a bag of pretzels or a bottle of water or something.
I don't even know if they have, like, anything normal. I think it's like you literally go and everything is, like, a la carte. I don't know that they have just, like, the old school like us where it's, like, you get the school meal and it's, you know, the rectangle piece of pizza and a carton of milk and a scoop of corn or whatever you want. I don't know.
Because I know, like, they'll have a place where you can say you get fruit or whatever, an apple or an orange. And if you don't want it, you can put it on the shelf or something like that and you get your milk. So I think they still do. But like I said, once they get to the high school and it's open campus, they can leave and maybe go to the convenience store across the street or run over to McDonald's or somewhere or do a la carte. I think that's kind of it.
I think my girls have always done a la carte. So needless to say, Dad knows that they've been eating or at least purchasing something
my girls
every single day because all of a sudden I'm like, I got to pay him another $50 again? What the heck?
That's how Logan was. And like I said, it was always like little snacky type thing. Maybe a bagel once in a while, a bottle of water, pretzels or something like that. The girls didn't much. The girls skip lunch a lot.
I always joke with Jay and I'm like, what'd you have? Burger, chicken, you know, chicken tenders, maybe pizza, whatever it was. You know, oh, they had sloppy joes today. Oh, I'm like, oh, way different. Way different way to put your meat together instead of a patty. It's just
sloppy joes are good. I almost made them last night, but the boys made burgers instead.
I made burgers last night.
Yeah, I did too. On the grill?
No, I did it on my griddle, my indoor griddle.
Oh, that works.
Because I was doing that, and I made some chicken, so I had some chicken left over for later. But then I also I don't have one of those mandolins to, like, cut my onions real thin because obviously, I mean, someone like myself, I love food videos. I love watching food TV, stuff like that. If you slice them nice and thin, then you
technically you can put them on the grill first and then put your burger patty on top of it. Well, I did it the opposite. I put one side of the patty down. I put all those real thin sliced onions on top. And then when you flip it over and you cook it that way, those onions kind of just get embedded in the burger.
So. I love them cooked or raw, either or.
Exactly.
Fried onions, yum.
Well, yeah, it's got to be the yellow sweet ones. I do like the white ones. Red
ones. I like any kind of onions.
Red ones, I mean, those are fine, but I'm like, they don't do as much for me, no.
I call them purple, but they are red.
Yeah,
purple,
I mean, they call them red onions, but yeah, they are purple.
I'm currently in the process of finishing up a purple red onion.
What are you going to do with it?
I put it on salad. Sometimes I'll fry it up with mushrooms and, make like an omelet or something. I eat a lot of onions.
Like I said, my wife is from Savannah, so she's kind of partial to the Vidalia sweet onions. So those are good.
They're good.
They're basically the same as the yellow onions.
The only ones I really don't usually grab to pay for is the white ones because those seem to be stronger.
They are, but I think I've used those. I mean, they seem... they might be a little bit more hearty. You might say they're not, like the yellow onions are kind of, I don't know, if they feel like they're a little bit flimsier, like the white onions are kind of just stiff and white and whatever, but I've used
those.
The
Vidalia ones seem to not last as long, I think.
Ones, those ones, I think for a long time, I would use those I would either saute them or I would put them in stuff like either chili or spaghetti sauce or something.
It's always a last resort if they don't have yellow onions.
Lately I do prefer the yellow, the sweet ones, just because then, like you said, you can cut them up or you can fry them. I can eat a whole onion at a meal all the time.
Same.
So.
Onions, garlic, love them. Mm-hmm. Mushrooms too, toss those in there. What did your elementary school lunchbox look like? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Jamie had a Fall Guy lunchbox and still has it on the shelf.
Really?
I wish I had mine still. Just, nostalgia.
Yeah, that's why I said I don't know where ours are at. Have we got rid of them or not?
Yeah, ours would have got chucked. Like I said, they got banged up and scratched up and stuff, but still, definitely, it would have been kind of cool to have. Or they broke. Like, they would break easy. The handles would break on, those lunch boxes weren't exactly expensive to begin with.
Well, they were expensive to us.
Probably. Back in the day, maybe, I don't know if they cost $2, $5, what they cost. I don't remember, but, $5 was a lot of money, for family to pay for.
Things have changed, as far as how much stuff costs. So,
and now maybe you can get something kind of metal like with a thermos.
I would think so. There's probably somebody that's, even if it's, refurbishing some old ones or something. I bet you there's some that you can find the old metal lunch boxes.
Yeah, you can. I know, in eBay and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You can find them. People sell them, but others collect them and stuff. Barb says when she was in grade school, she went home for lunch. Junior high, paper sack. Until high school, then she finally got herself a fancy lunchbox with a little thermos in there. Yeah, the thermoses are cool because, not only, milk to drink. If wintertime, you could put warm soup in there or stew or whatever.
Yeah, sure. A lot of times now, I think I've used more lunchboxes these days as an adult.
Yeah.
Because, I went through a couple different ones at my last job, but when you have an office building like ours or like my last one, they always end up having a break room or at least a fridge somewhere where you can put stuff.
Right.
And at one point, the mini fridge I have downstairs in my house, just for the fact that I was 30 miles away, which in California, that's like an hour, depending on traffic. You'd buy soda, like a 12-pack of soda, and you'd just put it in this mini fridge. And, usually if the boss didn't have a problem with it, you just put a mini fridge underneath your desk, and then you could have all your snacks there. Because, unfortunately, I tried to fix the fridge in the office in California.
How'd that go?
Well, it was over. It was all frosted over. It needed to be defrosted. And, of course, I'm not a patient person.
So you were banging away at
it. So I'm scraping. I hit one of the little things that's embedded in it for the Freon. Pretty much killed it.
Ooh. Did you, notice, the gas coming out? Or is it noticeable? Or is it invisible, kind of?
It's kind of invisible. But, it was very small. And I'm like, uh-oh. So that fridge died. And it was my fault. So.
Doug says he used a brown paper bag. It seems like a lot of you use brown paper bags for your elementary school lunchbox. It worked. Lori always walked home for lunch, so did Bonnie. Crash, just like Mark, used a lunch tray, so ate in school all the time.
Yeah, we mostly ate in school, and then if we didn't like it, you know, then we would have to, you know, use the lunch box and bring a box and bring something else. Because usually we'd have the lunch menu for the week or for the month or whatever. Mm-hmm. That would be like sent home to the families or whatever. So that way you could plan whether or not your kid was going to eat lunch or not. Because if they're having something they don't like, well, then what's the point of having them go eat there? Because then they're not going to eat anything, really.
Yeah, I mostly ate school lunch. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I had a lunchbox. So obviously on occasion I'd bring lunch. But I don't. Can't remember what I wouldn't have liked as a kid. I mean, we pretty much ate everything.
I just really had a thing with either fish sticks or fish patties.
Maybe chili if we they ever served that. I didn't like
patties.
That as a
we
kid.
We had everything on a bun. I mean, there was literally, we used to be hamburger patty.
Didn't you have like
hamburger patty on a bun, ham patty on a bun, chicken patty on a bun, veal patty on a bun. I mean.
But didn't you have mashed potatoes with gravy with some sort of meat like hamburger gravy or turkey gravy over mashed potatoes?
Maybe occasionally on a special occasion.
Oh, that
but it,
was
it got
so
to
good.
A point, especially in high school, it seemed like everything was just some type of patty on a bun just because then you could just throw it in the oven, heat it up, and give them a bun, and then that was it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just. Maybe it was the cost at the time, and that's what, you know, my high school could have, or my school could afford for all the kids. I don't know. I mean, it was just kind of, you know, especially when you got older and your palate got a little bit more defined, you might mm-hmm. say, but, you know.
And some of those small towns, too, if they are making food for, say, the school, they might be making it for the nursing home, too. I've heard of instances like that also.
We didn't have a nursing home in town, mm-hmm. so, I mean, we didn't do that.
So
but
they were just school lunches for the school.
And my sister did remind me that when we were real young, like we were in grade school, because she was 3 grades behind me. Like when I was a senior, she was a freshman. So when we were in grade school, she did actually remind me that my mom's mom, my grandma Harms, she actually worked. She was the one lady that was washing the dishes. Mm-hmm. So he had a separate window you'd bring your tray to, and then, you know, you'd put all the garbage in the garbage can, and then she's spraying them off and putting them in the washer and sending them through. Mm-hmm. So. Not a hugely busy job in a sense that there's not that many kids in school, but
but can you imagine if you went to a bigger school and more kids?
I know. They'd have more and more people doing the trays and stuff. So yeah. So both my grandmothers worked at the school.
That's cool.
My mom did as well. Once I got to about, I don't remember if it was first grade or third grade, but one of those times. And
it's always reassuring as a kiddo when you see, you know, a parent or a grandparent working there, I suppose.
Yep.
Like that. Oh, look at Dino is in. Must not have celebrated too late with that cubby win.
Well, that's because you still got a game 5 you got to make it through, Bonnie. Come on now.
He didn't expect them to go this far, so good for the Cubs. Mostly clear. We are at 45 degrees right now at our WDAY radio studios. High top I-29 in South Fargo. Looking for sunshine, 60 for our high temp. It is 5:53. Time to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Weather nice here, but I see on the East Coast they're bracing for a nor'easter. Strong winds, heavy rains. I see their temperatures overnight in many cities and states. We're going to drop down to the upper 20s and low 30s, so even some colder temperatures.
Oh, yeah.
You don't exactly expect that out east that we're
no. You
know, quite a bit warmer, but storms will do that.
It happens.
Mm-hmm. And there was another tsunami that hit the Philippines. 2 people dead, damage, evacuations, 7.4 magnitude earthquake off the southern Philippines. And then they were, here's another instance where they're warning about potential tsunami. We've had a couple of those warnings, like off of Alaska. Remember Russia and Alaska this year?
Wasn't there one for Hawaii at one point or
not? Yep, Hawaii too.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say this is like the second or third earthquake
for the
Philippines in recent months. So stormy weather elsewhere. We'll take it as a win here, the continued beautiful weather that we are experiencing. This is more like fall-like weather now.
Yeah, it definitely is.
It was 2 full weeks of bonus summer. But
yeah, well, it was hot, and let's be honest.
I like fall to grab a jacket as you're heading out the door, and, you know,
it's a bit brisk out. Get some sweater weather and a pumpkin latte.
I'm not to the sweater stage yet because then I get tired of them wearing sweaters or whatever all winter. So it's like fall shirts, though. You know, what? There's a difference.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't know there was a difference between a fall sweater and a winter sweater.
I mean, there can be, like, the weight of it, like how thick it is. But I have not pulled out my sweaters yet. They're still in storage bins.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's not that cold yet.
Obviously, you just talked about how it was hot last week.
It was, but well, this week has been colder though. But
yeah, it started off colder now.
But it's chilly if you go out without a jacket. Like if I'm mm-hmm. sitting on the steps and it's shady with the dog with the puppy, which seems to be mine, even though it's not. But I spend my whole day with him. I have to have some kind of a little jacket on or vest or something because it's kind of chilly.
Yeah, I mean, there's just certain spots where it's just like if you're in the shade and there's a breeze. I mean, James and I came out of the volleyball match on Tuesday, and even though Tuesday was a warmer day, I didn't bring a jacket. I had one of my long sleeve shirts or whatever you want to call them on, and it was just like, well, I'm not going to stand outside and just BS here because, you know, I'll do the BS, but I'll do it from inside my vehicle just for the
warmer, and you're protected from the wind.
Yeah, because it was breezy out, and so it's just enough where if you're standing there without a jacket, then you're going to be a bit chilly. But if you've got a jacket, which I think tonight, because I mean, at least right now,
it's going to be chilly tonight. 38 for the overnight low,
and we've got a game that starts at 7 that should be done. High school wise, should be done close to 9:30. I'm bringing jackets just because I don't want to sit up there and shiver while we're trying to finish up a game.
I like fall football games when maybe you need a winter hat on or a pair of gloves. Not like terribly cold, but you just want to be comfy, right?
Oh yeah,
when you're
absolutely.
Sitting in this, because if you're sitting in the stands in particular and you're not moving,
that's always
it gets
the thing.
Cold.
Yep, if you just sit still. I mean, I've known this from. Heck, working here, working at my last job, and it can be an office that's 72 degrees, and if you're just sitting still and not moving, it feels like it's a lot cooler. Like it's 72 in here, it feels like it's 62. I mean, it's so cold in here. But if you're not wearing a jacket and you're just sitting still, I mean, you're not moving and kind of creating that own your own kind of body heat there. So
sounds like my house too. When the boys are complaining they're cold, we'll do something. I'm sweating bullets up here because I'm busy running around cleaning and doing this and that.
Exactly. You got to settle down now.
Absolutely. Well, Dino's going to be in with your forecast coming up in just a little bit here. Don't forget, it's Friday, so we will have your pick six coming up at 8:10 with Big Game James McCarty. Brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North, and Steve Carney. Steve Carney Outdoors joins us at 7:10. We'll talk about duck hunting, also archery season, doe permits, buck permits, how he's doing on that. Sounds like he may have had some success with the deer hunt. 6 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. The weekend is upon us. What is the weather going to be doing? A lot of you might have outdoor plans, a lot of pumpkin patches, haunted houses, and whatnot going on this time of year. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with a check on our weekend forecast. Good morning to you, and congrats on another Cubby win.
Whoa, man.
How exciting.
Ooh, yeah, Saturday will be fun.
There you go.
They have to win, right?
Yeah, it's win or go. Whoever loses goes home, so that's the final game. So should be fun, yeah. I'm actually quite surprised they really made a statement last night.
Good. So
that's good. That's good. Good deal. And Mother Nature making a statement saying, hey, get out and enjoy the weather, you lazy bum. If you're sitting inside on the couch, you got to get out and enjoy some of these days. These are nice ones. We'll be wishing for days like this as we head into November and December for sure. A little cool start this morning, but nothing too bad. We're looking at temperatures here at the studio, 42 degrees. 41 in Moorhead, Euland, you're at 39, Perm's at 45, Wahpeton's at 42, Grand Forks, you're at 39 as well. We'll see plenty of sunshine today, pretty seasonal, actually a little bit above normal for this time of the year. Normally, we should be right around 59, 60. We're going to be 64 today with a north wind at about 10 to 15. Clear and chilly tonight, winds will turn to the southeast, and that will help keep our temperatures from bottoming out too far with lows in the low 40s. And to start off your weekend, we'll start off with plenty of sunshine on Saturday. Then we'll see clouds increase late in the day. We'll have highs in the upper 60s. A warm front pushes through Saturday night. That will trigger off some showers, a few thunder showers overnight Saturday night. And then Sunday, breezy and mild with highs in the low 70s. And we could see a few more isolated showers coming in late in the day on a cool front. And that cool front will bring in much cooler weather next week. I'll have details on that coming up after the bottom of the hour.
Wild weather on the East Coast. Our friends and relatives dealing with a nor'easter.
A little bit in the mid-Atlantic up into the Northeast. Yeah, they got a nice little storm system there
too. I saw some of their overnight lows are going to be in the low 30s and upper 20s for a couple of cities there.
Yeah.
That's colder than us.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, the main jet stream has been up in Canada, and then a lot of it is delivering some chilly air to the northeastern part of the U.S. Yeah, both coasts, well, I wouldn't consider southern Arizona, but they're getting the remnants of a hurricane in southern Arizona.
Oh,
yep, that will move into the Rockies. The Rockies will get some moisture out of that. But yeah, southern Arizona getting quite a bit of rain.
Is that unusual? Or
No. They get okay. It is their. They do get remnants of hurricanes this time of the year.
Okay.
So, yeah. So they're and they always need the moisture down the desert southwest. But yeah, that moisture is going to stay to our south. But like I said, we do have some coming in Saturday night and a little bit late in the day on Sunday. I think the majority of that is going to come in Saturday night. Overnight Saturday night and a very, very early Sunday morning. If you're an early riser Sunday morning, and there might still be a few leftover showers. But most of that coming in overnight Saturday night.
All right. Question of the morning. What did your elementary school lunchbox look like? Did you have a lunchbox?
Oh, boy, yeah. What cartoon character was on that thing?
I had a Scooby-Doo one.
I was going to say, I know Scooby-Doo is one of them. What was the other one?
Oh. Yeah, mine was Scooby-Doo and the Partridge Family.
Okay, I know people, I know some classmates had the Partridge Family. I think there might have been somebody with the Brady Bunch on there, too. Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know, whatever was big back then. You know?
Honestly, I can't remember which one. I know it was a cartoon character.
But you did eat at school, too.
Oh, yeah. Didn't everybody?
Well, some kids, there was a number of people on our Facebook page.
That walked home?
Yeah, went home for lunch.
Now, see, I lived a block and a half away from school, so I walked to school every day.
Oh, okay.
And on occasion, I think maybe on Fridays, I went home for lunch. Okay. Mom was a stay-at-home mom, so she'd always have lunch ready if I was
coming
home.
I would have loved going home. We weren't allowed to because we lived across a busy double highway. So we actually – it was like a mile from our school, but we actually had to ride the bus. How fun is that?
Really?
Until we got to driving age.
Grade school up through fifth grade. I walked to school. It was great. Like I said, block and a half away from school. You just walk there. And don't have to – you can – sleep in a little bit. You don't have to worry about catching a bus and having that take you to school.
I snuck home once in sixth grade during lunch break because the teacher busted me too because was wearing whatever and it was hot. So I went home and what do you wear? Like a little, not a tube top, but like a half shirt or whatever. I came back to class with that on and he started yelling. And that's when teachers still hit you. I was getting punched in the arm. Where'd you get that? Because he knew I wasn't supposed to go home because we had to cross a busy highway. Sure. And I suppose the school would have been
liable. Is
that
the worst thing you did in grade school?
Yeah.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get the paddle?
No.
No?
No.
I did. Surprise.
Yeah, well, as a class, I did not lead the charge, and I did. My dad would have killed us if we got busted, but my class was really naughty in fifth and sixth grade.
Oh, ours was in fifth grade.
We had a playground attendant. For some reason, there was a couple of them, but we called this one the nanny. We were so bad, she ended up quitting, but we'd have a magnifying glass and try to start fires on the playground and stuff like that.
Were you trying to burn ants? Or what?
No, we were just
allegedly
naughty. My whole class was awful, and like I said, I knew enough not to really get roped into the whole thing, kind of more of a spectator because.
Oh, you weren't the ringleader?
No, my dad. No,
I don't know if I believe that. She'd be like, yeah, that's a good idea. You guys should do that. Oh, I'll be watching right
Michelle
here.
Michelle was the ringleader. Yeah, she was.
I remember our fifth grade teacher, Mr. Bierdeman. I'll never forget it. He was down in the principal's office, and our fifth grade class was at the total other end of the hallway, and I remember. He comes in, when the teacher leaves class to go down to the principal's office, the whole class starts causing trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And so he goes down there. He was down there for a few minutes. He comes back and he goes, Dean, I could hear you all the way down in the principal's office. Get out in the hallway.
That's what happens when you happen to have a loud voice, right?
Yeah. And look at me now. I'm using my voice
look
for...
Look at you now. Yeah. We're proud
look
of
at me
him.
Now.
Somebody's proud of him.
All right.
Yeah. But you're right, though. Whenever the teacher would leave, that's when you guys started acting up in the classroom.
Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh yeah, they couldn't wait for my class to graduate. We were awful.
I can
loud,
only
obnoxious.
Imagine. Yes, I can only imagine. Good thing they didn't have cell phones or video cameras back in those days.
No
in those days, oh man.
6:10. We're gonna get your national news in from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty arrives with your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:14. Weekend upon us. Big Game James McCarty is here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Minnesota Wild begin their 2025-26 season with a bang. A 5-0 dominating shutout victory over the St. Louis Blues. Philip Gustavsson, fresh off of putting some new ink to paper on a contract extension, was perfect, saving all 26 shots he faced to net. Ryan Hartman, a pair of goals. Matt Boldy added a goal and an assist. A goal apiece for Marco Rossi and Joel Eriksson-Ek, and Kirill Kaprizov with three assists. Joel Eriksson-Ek actually recorded his 300th career point in that victory. The Wild will return home to St. Paul for the first time this season to score off of the Columbus Blue Jackets for their home opener on Saturday at 7 p.m. Minnesota Timberwolves were outscored by 7 in the fourth quarter en route to a 195 overtime loss in a preseason matchup to the Knicks in New York. Anthony Edwards paced the way with 17 points, followed by 16 points and 5 rebounds from Julius Randle. Terrence Shannon Jr. and Rob Dillingham chipped in 11 and 10 points respectively off the bench. 13 players scored in total. The Pack will continue preseason play on Monday with their fourth of 6 preseason matchups. In the MLB postseason last night, the LA Dodgers walked off the Philadelphia Phillies 2-1 in 11 innings on a walk-off error.
Mm-hmm.
What a tough way to go for Philly.
I saw that.
What a bummer for Philly. How bad it must be to lose. At least they played the Giants on primetime football and were able to get a victory last night.
Yeah.
Wait.
That. No. That didn't happen either.
The Giants beat them. Oh, what a tough night, Philly. Oh, that's such a bummer, guys.
Well,
oh.
The Giants, though, make no sense. They've now beaten the Chargers and the Eagles, but they lost to the Saints.
The Saints are good.
No.
No, they're awful. They're awful. Very bad.
Exactly. Now,
the Giants might be the most inconsistent team in football, regardless.
That's probably an understatement right now.
Oh, God. It's, just an absolute fiasco. All I know is Philadelphia had a tough night. So, you know, guys, if you were roaming the streets in Philly last night, it wasn't out of joy. It was out of sorrow. And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago shut out Milwaukee 6-0 to tie up that series at 2 games apiece. The winner of that decisive Game 5 on Saturday night at 7 o'clock on TBS will end up playing the Dodgers in the National League Championship Series. Tonight on Fox, you're going to have the ALDS Game number 5 with Seattle hosting Detroit. That's a 7 o'clock first pitch. Winner of that one gets Toronto in the American League Championship Series. Back to Philadelphia, just because I want to rub it in a little bit. This is only the second time ever that a series was clinched on a walk-off error in the postseason. Do you know when the other time was?
Did it involve the Twins?
I was just going to say something with the
Twins. No. We don't have that kind of luck. No. Well, yeah. Or bad. We don't have any luck, okay? Good or bad. No, it was actually the last time that the Blue Jays went to the American League Championship Series.
Oh.
The Jays walked off the Texas Rangers in the American League Division Series in 2016.
Okay.
Yep. Huh. That's the only other time it's happened. So at least Philadelphia, you're a part of history now.
Ouch.
I'm really rubbing that in, aren't I?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, you try trading half your roster to Philly and they still can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
High school volleyball last night in North Dakota, Fargo Davies sweeping Shanley. Horace over North in straight sets. Cheyenne defeats Fargo South in a sweep. Valley City over Central Cass in straight sets. Northern Cass edged out Kindred in 5 sets. The Vikings actually won the first 2 sets before you had Northern Cass win the final 3. In Minnesota, Holly sweeping Detroit Lakes. Barnesville over Frazee in straight sets. Dilworth, Clinton, Felton edged out Breckenridge in a 5-setter. The Rebels won the first 2 sets, lost the next 2. That 5th set went 19-17. So that was a tight one all evening long between the Rebels and the Cowgirls there. Pelican Rapids falling to Staples Motley in 3 sets. Park Christian takes down Winnie Mack in straight sets and Lake Park Audubon in 4 sets over Bagley. This weekend, Fargo Force Hockey at Tri-City. They'll have a 7:05 puck drop tonight, a 6:05 puck drop tomorrow evening. As we look to college football over the weekend, Dragon Football heads to Bismarck to battle UMary at 2 o'clock on Saturday, the annual battle for the paddle. That'll be a 1 p.m. pregame on our sister station, The Flag, with a 2 p.m. kickoff. Cobber football at Hamlin at 1 p.m. on Saturday, right here on WDAY Radio with Larry Knutson. Bison football hosting Southern Illinois at 2:30 on Saturday. North Dakota hosts Youngstown State at 3. South Dakota State hosting Northern Iowa at 2 o'clock. South Dakota at Indiana State at noon. And the Gophers of Minnesota will be hosting Purdue at 6:30 Saturday night on the Big Ten Network. As we look to high school football tonight, here on WDAY Radio, Moorhead Spud football hosting St. Michael Albertville. 6 p.m. kickoff with Larry Knutson on the call for that one. Jason and I are heading to Glendon for the matchup between Dilworth, Glendon, Felton, and Barnesville. A 7 p.m. kickoff for that one. An exciting, exciting evening of high school football. That's over on our sister station, The Flag. And as we've got some exciting news up in North Fargo, Newman Outdoor Field. Banana Ball coming to Fargo. For the first time ever, the This is from the release. The fast-paced, highly entertaining version of baseball popularized by the Savannah Bananas will be played in North Dakota when the Firefighters take on the newly announced Indianapolis Clowns. It is the weekend of June 26th and 27th
and
of 2026.
You have to apply for a lottery system to get tickets.
Yeah,
not
you have,
it's not first come, first serve.
You have till the end of the month to do that.
Yeah.
And so there's no, you know, fast tracking or fast pass or priority of any sorts of that. It's you have X amount of tickets available. You put yourself into a lottery and it randomizes the drawing for it. And so, yeah, Banana Ball now increasing to six teams this upcoming year. And you have until October 31st to get on that list. It doesn't guarantee tickets that you can buy,
right,
but it gives you the opportunity to be in the lottery. If you're interested in purchasing tickets for any event or the one in Fargo, go to bananaball.com/tickets.
I see they're going to be in Sioux Falls, too.
They will be in Sioux Falls as well
for
a weekend.
Yeah, South Dakota, or maybe you can't get them here. You can, and if you really want to see them, that might be
They're heading all over. They're in Montana this year. They're going to be at Target Field. Last year, they were at the home of the St. Paul Saints. This next summer, they're going to be at Target Field.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to sell it out, too.
They're
so
gaining
fun.
In popularity over the years.
Yeah, I mean, the coolest thing about it is how they keep it so entertaining and fast-paced. It is, by all means, it takes a lot of the, you know, kind of the traditions of baseball,
yep,
slower paced, a little bit, you know, more kind of, I suppose, traditional of sorts, and it modernizes it a ton.
Add
it's four
some
of those
backflips, yep, and dance
shorter
moves
attention
and stuff
spans
like that.
Will stay stimulated for an entire 2-hour game because each inning, you have a point on the line until the ninth inning, if that makes sense. So, for example, if the road team scores three runs in the top of the first inning and the home team scores zero, the road team only gets 1 point in the first inning.
Mm.
It's to keep the game competitive all the way until the final inning. The final inning, whether it's the ninth inning or if they hit their time limit, then they play one more inning. Then you would you have unlimited runs that can score. So, for example, if it's the ninth inning and the road team scores three runs, they would get 3 points,
okay,
if that makes sense.
A lot of razzle-dazzle.
Yeah,
mixed in,
yeah, it's
so
just
it
a lot of excitement. There's a lot of things. They've got middle-aged fathers that are in cheerleading outfits. They have a man who's on, like, 10-foot-tall stilts.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, I mean, just all kinds. They have
these,
former professional players that'll make appearances.
Say, yeah.
I mean, based off of who's the manager of the Red Hawks, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there's
Chris
an appearance
Coast,
there, a little coaster. That would be my educated guess based off of watching a few Banana Ball games this year, whether it was the Savannah Bananas, it was the
fun
Party Animals, it was anybody else, the Tailgaters, but I think that's, yeah, it's going to be pretty darn cool.
Did you already register for the lottery?
I did not quite yet.
I tried to get on, but I was
like hyper-focused on the Wild game last night. And then once they started rolling, I'm like, this is nice. I like this. And then I went,
yeah,
and I woke up at like 4:45 this morning.
We know the one of the new teams is the Indianapolis Clowns. Do you know the other team's name then?
Yes, it's the Coconuts.
The Local Beach Coconuts.
The Local Beach Coconuts.
You got Firefighters, Tailgaters.
I love
party
the mascot
animals,
for the Coconuts. It's got a coconut with some shades on, his hat's on backwards, and he's holding the bat in his hand. Just absolutely. It's got some nice vacation vibes.
That's awesome. And where are they based out of? Like Cocoa
Beach?
I
mean,
Local
Beach.
It says Local Beach, but I mean, I think, in essence, each one of these teams has not all of them have a quote unquote home city, because you got Indianapolis, you got the Texas Fire,
Texas Tailgaters,
and the Savannah Bananas, the other three teams.
The Firefoot.
From somewhere.
They're all based out of Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah,
they all are.
Yeah, yeah. So,
because
they're touring around the whole entire country.
See, okay.
So, Jesse's the man in the yellow tux or the yellow suit. He's the one that owns them, and he's the one that is the main backer of the creation of this league. And they do a tremendous job. But, yeah, so he purchased the team.
So does he develop each of these teams?
He has a crew, and they all have managers. They all have
choreographers.
And it's super wild, honestly.
It's funny if a baseball team hired the new dance coordinator for the tailgaters.
Hey, you know what? It works, though.
Yeah,
it works.
It's fun. I've seen enough highlights.
It's tremendous. And, yeah, you have a two-hour time limit, too, so it's always going to be, you know, to continue to keep things moving. And so that's the biggest thing. They have concerts in the midst of games. They have all kinds of things. They had at one point they put people in those dinosaur costumes.
Oh, and
I saw
that one.
And you can't see out of some of them. Mm-hmm. And so they were just flailing. They have so many different components to it that any person who is not a Scrooge for traditional baseball, kind of similar to me, even I find it very enjoyable.
Yeah. Savannah Bananas, go to their website if you want to register to get yourself in. They've got a lottery going on, and like I said, you might want to try Sioux Falls too, because if you don't get picked for the Fargo tickets, maybe you'll, if you really want to see them, maybe you'll end up going down to Sioux Falls. Got some new food choices, a couple new interesting things when it comes to food news, and we'll talk about that straight ahead. 6:27 on a Friday. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie and Mustadi, Jace Denman and you. Coming up 6:56 this morning, we are going to do Flatland Music Flashback, little music entertainment history lesson brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this artist. She starred in a movie back in 1979, which was nominated for a bunch of Academy Awards, and it was her screen debut. She's better known for singing. I'm not even sure if she appeared in anything else after that, but find out who it is.
Bette Midler?
Flatland Music Flashback, right around 6:56.
I'm sorry, as far as her acting career, she was in more stuff than that.
You can't, like, give away the... What are you doing over there?
You're like, I don't think she appeared in anything else after that.
No, not sure.
No, I'm pretty sure she was in other stuff.
All right, so you guys all know that Bette Midler is coming up in Flatland Music Flashback.
You mentioned everybody was going to be on Flatland Music Flashback yesterday at the end of the show, remember?
I didn't mention her.
You were holding on that one as your big wild card surprise?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, way to go. That's okay. And also, Food Fight Friday, you put a question out, so we'll be doing that. What is the Food Fight? I know you had it out there, but I didn't pay attention.
Well, it just kind of, like you with your questions of the morning, it just kind of popped into my mind. Because when you think about, you know, we're getting some fall weather this week, and then we'll be into winter. So what do we normally like to eat during those times? We're more into soup and stews and chilies, etc. So it was a simple question. Which one is your comfort food when it comes to soup? And I just gave two options, chicken noodle or tomato soup, because some people are definitely going to be pro tomato soup because that's because you're going to have your grilled cheese with it. And other people, you know, when it comes to just a comfort soup, they're going to think more chicken noodle. So it's chicken noodle versus tomato soup this week.
There you go. You want to weigh in on that? Go to our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook
page. One seems to be running away from the other. I'll put it that way.
One I do not like and one I do like. So. All right.
Oh, really? Yeah. I did not know that.
Arby's.
Yeah.
Something new on the menu. They have the meats. You know that.
Arby's, we have the meats.
This is different for them. Yeah. Steak nuggets.
I saw that the other
day. Are they advertising? Are they doing TV commercials?
I thought I saw a post on social media somewhere because it was a picture of it. And I'm like, because.
If they're good, that'd be great.
Yeah, if they're good, it'd be awesome because, like, you can go to a restaurant and get either, like, steak medallions. I know some
places hit or miss. I've tried them at different places. Some places are good, and other ones they've just been tough. And it's like, that's no fun.
No, exactly. And I've, I don't know. Burnt ends aren't not steak. They're
pork,
right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm always afraid to try burnt ends because
they're great.
And I say that just because I don't like that burnt flavor. You know, like when you have blackened salmon or blackened chicken. I mean, technically, you're kind of burning that one side of it a little bit, and that burnt flavor just doesn't really do it for me. So that's why I always kind of tend to stay away from burnt ends, but you know, steak chunks or steak medallions, I mean, I just think if it's actual steak, that's the question.
Could be good. Look for it at Arby's. And then also, and I'm sure these will be expensive because freeze-dried candy is expensive. M&M's coming out with their very first freeze-dried candy popped caramel M&M's. I bet they're good, but I bet they're going to cost you more than a regular bag of M&Ms.
Maybe, but here's the thing. When I've tried those freeze-dried...
They're different. It's kind of like a novelty thing almost.
Am I thinking the freeze-dried one?
Brought some in when we went to Chicago a couple years ago, like little ice cream sandwiches. Remember? Yeah. And some Skittles and
we've
stuff.
I've had Skittles, and I've had the spicy ones, too, and the texture now becomes crunchy.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
They're airy and crunchy.
Yeah, and to me, I was just trying to make sure that that was actually freeze-dried because it seems like they put them and they kind of expand and dry out. So that is freeze-drying them, though. Mm-hmm. So I've had the Skittles before. And the thing with, like, say, Skittles or even the caramel M&Ms is the texture when they're not freeze-dried. So now you're going to take a caramel one that's chewy on the inside and all of a sudden it's going to be kind of dried out and crunchy.
Different.
So yeah. I would definitely try them.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll love them either.
All right. Quit complaining, Wysocki.
I know. You got nothing else to do, bro.
6:31 and a half right now. Wysocki's in shortly. 6:34, time now for a check on our weekend forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
And the weekend looks so-so. I mean, if you have outdoor plans, I think you're going to be able to get them in. It's going to feel more like, early October it'll feel like middle of September. It's going to be a warm one this weekend. Normal highs this time of the year, upper 50s to around 60. We're going to be above that today. Today's going to be a nice one. Sunny skies, 64. North winds about 10 to 15. Not too bad. Then clear skies tonight. The winds turn to the southeast. We'll drop down to 42. And those south-southeast winds ramp up. It's going to be a windy one. Hang on to your toupee tomorrow. Winds will be gusting at or over 30 with highs in the upper 60s. We'll start off with sunshine tomorrow, but then we'll see clouds come into the area by evening, and that will lead to showers and a few thunder showers overnight tomorrow night. Looks like a pretty good soaking in the valley and eastward. You go out west, and probably not going to see a whole lot out of this. And by a good soaking, I'm talking a half inch, three quarters.
Okay.
A pretty good bet over the valley and in the lakes country. And then as that warm front lifts north, those winds turn out of the south on Sunday. It's going to be a pretty windy one on Sunday. Then a cold front will approach the area late in the day. That'll trigger off a few thunder showers as we head towards evening with highs in the low 70s. And then much cooler weather settles in for early next week with highs in the low 50s and overnight lows right around that freezing mark. So it's going to feel more like October to start off next week. We were thinking a storm midweek next week. Now it looks dry. I don't see another storm until the end of next week. So pretty dry for harvest next week. We just have to deal with the rain this weekend. If you're going out in the western part of the state this weekend, could see some snow.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be out. We're going out in the far western part of the state.
So you might see that?
Yeah. Sunday night, it looks like
flurries or what?
The ground's too warm. I don't see anything sticking. But could see some windy snow showers out in the far western part of the state. Let's see.
A little taste of
Hettinger, Williston areas. Mm. Those areas could see.
Okay.
Nah. Some Watford City could see a little bit of snow.
Better than us.
They can have it, no doubt. Yeah.
And you figure that next week, middle of October already, you know.
Already, yeah. I mean, trick-or-treating not too far away.
Three weeks from today.
Three weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, it's on a Friday.
Yep, it is. Yep.
Oh, yeah, it's on a Friday this year. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, if any of our listeners are out in Hettinger this weekend, Sunday night, stop out there. We're having a big fundraiser for Christy's brother.
Oh, so, where at?
I think there's only one bar in Hettinger.
Okay. So, yeah, Hettinger's a small town.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. It's either at the bar or if there's a leak. She's got all the paperwork. All the
it's
flyers.
A small town.
They'll
people
know.
Are
everybody
very
will know.
Well aware.
Yeah, but he needs a double lung transplant.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're raising money for her brother. So
okay.
If anybody's out in Hettinger, stop out and say hi.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Good luck, and hopefully it's a successful fundraiser.
No doubt.
Too.
No doubt.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
It is 6:37. We are going to be getting your national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network. And Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:43, Big Game James McCarty is here now with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Local high school volleyball in North Dakota last night. We saw Fargo Davies sweep Shanley, West Fargo Horace over North in straight sets. Cheyenne defeats South in three sets. Valley City sweeping Central Cass. Northern Cass edged out Kindred in five sets. The Vikings won the first two sets, and then Northern Cass would win the last three. In Minnesota, Holly sweeping Detroit Lakes. Barnesville over Frazee in straight sets. Dilworth, Glennon, Felton edged out Breckenridge in a five-setter. 19-17 in that final set. Pelican Rapids did fall to Staples Motley in three sets. Park Christian downing Winnemac in straight sets and Lake Park Audubon in a four-setter over Bagley. Fargo Forest Hockey this weekend at Tri-City. First puck drop will be tonight at 7:05. Puck drop on Saturday will be at 6:05. Minnesota Wild opened up their 25-26 regular season in St. Louis against the Blues with a dominating 5-0 victory last night. Philip Gustafson perfect, saving all 26 shots he faced. Ryan Hartman led the offense with a pair of goals. Matt Boldy, Joel Eriksson-Ek, and Marco Rossi all chipping in a goal apiece. Kirill Kaprizov tallied three assists as the Wild will head to St. Paul for their home opener Saturday night against the Columbus Blue Jackets at 7 p.m. Minnesota Timberwolves preseason basketball, they fell in overtime to the Knicks in New York, 195 last night. Anthony Edwards pacing the way with 17 points, followed by 16 points and 5 rebounds from Julius Randle. 13 players scoring in that matchup. The Wolves now 1-2 in preseason play, and they'll continue with their fourth of six preseason matchups on Monday evening at home. MLB postseason last night saw in the National League the LA Dodgers walk off the Philadelphia Phillies 2-1 in 11 innings. The Dodgers now win that series 3-1, and they await the winner of the Cubs and Brewers series after Chicago shut out Milwaukee 6-0 last night to force a decisive Game 5 on Saturday night on TBS at 7 o'clock. The winner of that series gets LA. In the American League Division Series, Seattle hosting Detroit tonight in a decisive Game 5 at 7 o'clock. The winner of that series in that game gets the opportunity at the Toronto Blue Jays in the best-of-seven American League Championship Series. This weekend on our family of stations, we look here on WDAY Radio. Tonight, Moorhead Spud football hosting St. Michael Albertville at 6 p.m., and then on Saturday, Cobber football at Hamlin at 1 p.m. Larry Knutson on the call for both of those matchups. Over on our sister station, The Flag, Jace and I head to Glendon as Dilworth Glendon Felton hosts Barnesville at 7 o'clock tonight. And then Minnesota State Moorhead the Dragons and the annual Battle for the Paddle will visit You Marry in Bismarck, a 1 p.m. pregame with a 2 p.m. kickoff over on our sister station, The Flag, Saturday afternoon. Sports This Hour brought to you by Prairie Supply. Contact the concrete experts at Prairie Supply, the contractor's headquarters. For more info, go to prairiesupply.com.
And you're going to be serving up another pick six coming up at 8:10 this morning. Vikings have a bye week.
Yeah, so
what's going to be our tiebreaker game? Can you tell
us?
Or do we have to wait till
8:10? Should I? Should I not? It might be a top 10 game in the FCS. I'll give you that.
Okay, I like that. Little
Very
tease.
Well could be. Okay. There's a possibility. Maybe, maybe not. I could be fibbing.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Okay. So are they honestly, all, are they all football remember. Games or did you have to grab
it's all
some?
Football.
It's all football.
All football.
Okay. All
right. We might have mixed in a Big Ten matchup.
Okay.
To make up for the bye or Vikings don't play
Vikings
this week.
Vikings bye
yeah.
week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Bison had a bye week 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The Dragons have a bye week next week. So we'll figure that out.
A lot to keep track of, isn't it?
Yeah. What's with these bye weeks? Just play straight through.
Well, yeah, with the Vikings, they had two games, you know.
And well, I don't blame them. They need a week off. They, They're like, Who knows? We don't even know who's going to play quarterback against the Eagles in a week and a half.
We really don't, so we'll see.
Could be Carson. He's got a bum off shoulder.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, his left shoulder's a little bum right now. Could be J.J. McCarthy. Got a bum ankle. Mm-hmm. Could be Max Brosmer. He hasn't seen enough field to get hurt yet, so that's good.
Yeah.
The offensive line's in shambles. I'll put it that way.
We'll see how it goes. But James will be serving up a pick six coming up at 8:10 this morning, brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters. Ramjack North, we want you guys to get involved in that. Whoever wins gets bragging rights, and you win a fine prize. And the way you do that is you go to WDAYRadioNow.com. Look for the pick six midway down the page. You got to wait till 8:10 when James gets on the air with us. But then go ahead and fill out your picks, and good luck to you. Also coming up 7:10 this morning, Steve Carney. Steve Carney Outdoors. He is brought to you by Auto Fix and Otter Tail. We'll find out how duck hunting is going, and then archery deer season on the Minnesota side, how that's going as well. Flatland Music Flashback, that's going to be coming your way right around 6:56 this morning, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this group. Two members hurt when a cherry bomb thrown on stage during a concert in Philly. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback right around 6:56. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 1970, this singer went to number one on the U.S. singles chart. It was his first number one song that he performed himself. We'll find out who that was and what song it was coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
7:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has arrived with a check on your weekend forecast.
Yeah, boy, if you're starting the weekend today, looking good. Today's a good hooky day. You know, I think I'm gonna take off early today.
I'm getting out of here as soon as I can.
You know what? We should all take off and go golfing here. Make it like 11 o'clock tea time.
I need time for a nap.
No, I can't. Bridget's gone today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we can run a best of. We can run a best of. Yeah, forget
Gary on about today,
it.
Or yeah,
we
got yeah,
Gary.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. We will have Gary on. The LRC founder, Gary Lezak, will be on Weather and Ag and Focus with me this afternoon. We'll be talking a little bit about the LRC. Even though the LRC just started, we'll kind of dive into that a little bit and get Gary's take. If you have any questions, make sure to shoot us a call this afternoon when Gary's on. I'm sure he'll be more than happy to entertain your questions. And my question is, are we going to continue this nice weather into the weekend? And the answer is, yeah, pretty much so. We're looking at temperatures right now, right around that 40-degree mark across much of the area. And we'll warm it up today to 64 with plenty of sunshine and a north wind about 10 to 15 for tonight. Clear skies, a chilly one, but nothing too bad. Lows in the low 40s and southeast winds of 5 to 15. Those southeast winds really ramp up tomorrow, though. It's going to be a windy one with winds gusting at or over 30 and highs in the upper 60s tomorrow. Clouds will increase. We'll have a sunny start, but then clouds come in late in the day. That will lead to showers and thundershowers Saturday night. Could pick up a half inch or so out of that. And most of that's going to be the valley eastward. The further west you go, the less you'll see. And then Sunday, a windy one. Southerly winds will help warm us up into the low 70s. A cold front will be moving across the state. That'll trigger off a few late-day showers or thunder showers. But most of the day should be okay with highs in the low 70s again. And then windy and much cooler on Monday with highs only in the low 50s. But you factor in a strong northwest wind, it will feel much, much cooler. And then most of next week looks pretty dry. Great news for harvest. It looked like we were going to get a storm there midweek, but that is looks like now that's going to pass to our south as Canadian high pressure will hold tight by the end of next week and into that following weekend. That it looks like that's when we'll see our next chance of rain after this weekend.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
Weather's been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. Time now is 7:05. We got to check on your national news from ABC, a sports update from Big Game James McCarty, and then Steve Carney from Steve Carney Outdoors joins us to talk all things outdoor fishing and bow hunting.
Steve Carney Outdoors standing by. He joins us shortly. First of all, check on your WDAY radio sports with Big Game James McCarty.
The Wild defeated the Blues in St. Louis 5-0 in their 2025-26 season opener. Four goal scorers led by Ryan Hartman's pair of goals, Kirill Kaprizov, three assists, and 26 saves for Philip Gustafson. The Wild will have their home opener on Saturday night in St. Paul when they host the Columbus Blue Jackets at 7 p.m. MLB postseason last night, the Los Angeles Dodgers walking off the Philadelphia Phillies 2-1 in 11 innings to win that series 3-1. The Cubbies shut out the Milwaukee Brewers 6-0 to tie up that game at 2 games apiece. In the American League, Seattle hosting Detroit tonight for a decisive Game 5 at 7 o'clock. The winner gets Toronto in the best-of-7 American League Championship Series. Saturday night, you'll have Milwaukee hosting Chicago for their decisive Game 5 on TBS at 7 p.m. The winner of that one gets the Dodgers in the best-of-7 National League Championship Series. On our family of stations the rest of the week here on WDAY Radio, Moorhead Spud Football tonight hosting St. Michael Albertville at 6 p.m. with Larry Knudsen on the call. Then on Saturday afternoon, Concordia Cobber Football hitting the road as they visit Hamlin at 1 p.m. with Larry on the call for that one as well. Over on our sister station, The Flag, Jace and I head east of the Red River to Dilworth Glendon Felton as the Rebels take on the Barnesville Trojans. A 7 p.m. kickoff with Jason and I on the call for that one. And then on Saturday, Minnesota State Moorhead, the Dragons, head to Bismarck to battle UMary in the annual Battle for the Paddle, a 1 p.m. pregame with a 2 p.m. kickoff in that matchup of an NSIC football bout. Sports this hour brought to you by Sun Electric, serving the five-state region like no one else can. That's Sun Electric. If you have an electrical problem, they have the power to solve it online at sunelectricnd.com.
7:11. Time now to find Steve Carney. Steve Carney Outdoors. He's brought to you by AutoFix and Ottertail. Find out more at AutoFixRepairs.com. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, you guys. I'm sitting out here on a well-known lake down by north of Ashby, Minnesota, and there's four groups out here on the lake, and we've had legal shooting open for about 7 minutes. Have not heard one shot. Not looking good. I have kind of an old saying. It's like, if those ducks aren't knocking your hat off before legal shooting, it ain't going to happen.
So you won't sit out there all morning? You'll transition to fishing or something instead then, because it's not a good sign?
Bonnie, you read my mind. Absolutely.
I think I know you just a little bit.
Yep, I've got rods in my Alaskan, so I'm going to hop on another lake and chase some crappies here. I won't be out here for much more, maybe an hour, hour and a half. And I don't know. It's typical Minnesota duck hunting. Sometimes you hit them, sometimes you don't. But, you know, I'm going to stick it out for maybe an hour and kind of see how it goes.
Is it all about the weather, Steve? The weather just has not been cold enough, not rainy enough to get those ducks moving?
I think it's a little early. I mean, usually the first calendar birds start coming down around the 14th, 17th, right in there. So I'm, you know, about a week early, and the locals are basically gone. So we're just waiting for, you know, an influx of birds, and, you know, it'll happen. It's just, I think this is about a week too early, but when it happens, it'll happen. So it will. We just got to be patient.
Yeah, I know big game James McCarty, too, waiting for it to get colder. He was out one day last week or whatever, and mm-hmm. they got two shots off. He said they really didn't see anything out there.
Yeah, it's been woeful. That's probably the best way to describe it. But, you know, it's hit or miss in Minnesota. It's not, you know, Dakotas, you know, which is really where the flyways have shifted in the last number of years and changed a lot. And the water quality, too, in Minnesota. We've got, you know, high water, not a lot of food, water quality is not very good. A lot of our wetlands have been drained and tiled. And so it's just kind of been going in the wrong direction for quite a long time. And, you know, back in the day, you'd get into any of these lakes and you'd have all kinds of sago and shrimp and snails on your waders. And now you don't see that anymore. So if the food isn't there, the ducks aren't going to be there.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I think you told me that you did have success looking for deer archery season underway. And if so, you're the third person I know who's actually bagged a deer so far.
I'm very happy about that, Bonnie. I was snake bit all last year and just really had a tough time. And now it's starting out pretty good. And I had a couple of does come in early in the morning, Monday morning, and one was about 15 yards, and I made my shot, and it was just kind of weird. It was very foggy, a little tough to see, and I thought I made a good shot. So I waited a half hour, and I went down, found my arrow, and there was absolutely nothing on the arrow. No blood, no hair, nothing. It looked like it was just right out of the package, brand new, and that's a bad sign right there. That means you probably missed, and I've never seen an arrow so clean, nothing on it. And so I'm just scratching my head. I actually sat on the ground and, you know, kind of examined the whole arrow, and there was nothing in the broadhead. And it's like, how could I miss? So I just, you know, got up and started going, you know, in the direction where the deer went, and there it was, laying there about 25 yards away with a perfect shot.
Oh, so, wow.
Sometimes you get lucky and, you know, you get a few breaks. That's what bow hunting's all about. Sometimes you get the breaks, sometimes you're snake bit, which I was all last year. So starting out pretty good this year.
Yeah, my brother-in-law up in northeastern Minnesota, too. Last year he got skunked, too, and this year he's had success already. What have you seen out there or hearing out there from DNR or whatever? Are deer numbers good in Minnesota this year?
Well, yeah, it depends on the state, you know, part of the state you're in. You know, the northeastern Minnesota is very depressed for deer. It just depends on what section of where you are. Lakes Country has got plenty of deer. I can tell because I'm dodging them on the highway on the way back home after hunting, which is going to get really crazy now as this pre-rut kind of starts. They're going to be running across the roads like crazy within the next week or 10 days. So you really got to take it careful up here. You know, all the way in this northwestern part of Minnesota, it's crazy because when they're on their feet in that pre-rut, they're running all night. And especially with this full moon we just had, they're really active at night in a full moon. So
yeah,
you just got to be careful.
Just refreshed my Facebook feed, and I see a relative that lives over in the Brainerd area just took out a deer with his pickup, a lot of heavy damage to the front end of his pickup. So,
Well, I'm waiting for number 23, and I got a couple of dings in the front of my truck, so I know 23 is going to come, so I'm going to wait until I hit a deer before I get it fixed.
That's crazy, but as a guy, you're always out there in the woods, you're always heading to the lakes, I mean, late at night, early in the morning, and I mean, that's when the deer are active out there.
Yeah, you know, I just got a brand new truck a few weeks ago, and I parked it at a golf course in Alexandria, and I came out, and somebody shanked a drive off the about the 11th tee and put a nice big old dent in the side of my truck.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, it didn't leave a note or anything, obviously, but he was a horrible golfer to shank it that bad into the parking lot.
You don't have very good luck with vehicles, it sounds like, though.
Yeah, so I'm going to, again, wait till I hit a deer and then I'll get it fixed. It's not worth messing with right now.
I think that's the first time I've heard someone recently tell me that they have a dent in their vehicle because someone shanked a drive at the driving range or at the golf course.
Well, it looks like a perfect golf ball size hole, you know.
Oh, you know, bummer.
Right in my quarter panel. But,
oh,
you know,
no.
I'm going through the woods and cornfields and I'm hitting stuff all the time, so I don't have a love affair with my truck. It's just a tool, and
yeah. It's
going to get dinged up. That's the way it is.
Yeah, there you go. Are you starting to see corn come off in more of the fields?
It just is, yeah. You know, the Minnesota Pheasant Opener is tomorrow, and, boy, there's about 95% of the corn still up. They actually just started working on the beans, and they're really knocking those down. But it's going to be hard to know what the pheasant numbers are until we get the corn out, and that's going to be probably a couple of weeks at least. So it could be pretty tough right now. The only way you're going to really score on pheasants is try to catch them coming out of the standing corn into their roosting areas later in the day. Otherwise, they get in the corn, there's nothing you can do about it, and they stay in there pretty much all day. So,
at like early evening or something like that would be a good time?
Yeah, about the last hour of legal shooting is the best time to do that. And just watch them come out of the corn, watch where they drop in, and then you got a chance. But right now, you know, they're really not on the roads that much. They're just, you know, buried in the corn, and that's what they do. It's a safe place for them. They've got good cover. They've got food. Nobody bothers them. So we'll see how that goes. In the next couple of weeks, we'll know more about the bird numbers. They're saying they're up somewhat, but I take that with a grain of salt. I got to see it with my own two eyes.
Well, the last two winters have been very mild, so, you know, the chicks and the broods should have done pretty good, I guess.
Well, we had spring rains, which were pretty heavy, you know, it's really tough, you know, for those pheasants when there's spring rains that are really heavy, and, you know, a lot of their nests can get drowned out, and so, you know, again, we just don't know, but I think late season's going to be good. It seems like the corn is really delayed in the harvest, and that means hunting is just going to get better into November and even into December, so I would suggest, you know, just wait a couple of weeks, get that corn out, and then go hit it.
So when it comes to pheasants, so I mean, obviously, growing up in South Dakota, pheasant season is always a huge deal down in South Dakota. Is there as much pheasant hunting in North Dakota and Minnesota, or is it kind of more, not really, you know, just South Dakota?
Well, South Dakota and North Dakota are the two, you know, main destinations, and a lot of Minnesota people have pretty much given up on duck hunting and pheasant hunting in Minnesota, and they pretty much go to the Dakotas, which makes sense. I mean, that's where the habitat is, and, you know, that's where the action is. It's been that way for 30 years. So, you know, that's, you know, an alternative, and you can get a license and get, you know, a split season of, you know, 7 days and another 7 days. So, yeah, it depends how desperate we get,
right.
You know? If it gets tough, you got to, like, pull out the stops and go to the Dakotas.
Hey,
there's nothing wrong with that.
See, I know, you know, Canada geese and ducks, they migrate. Do pheasants migrate, or are they just in the region here?
No, you know, the life span of a pheasant is only about 7 months. They really don't live very long, and a lot of it is because of predators and raptors, you know, that are always harassing them, and, you know, they just don't live that long. And
also the hunters.
Hatch, you know, 7 or 10 chicks, you know, maybe two will survive. I mean, it's a tough go for pheasants. You know, they've got so many predators airborne and on land that it's just tough for them, but they're very resilient. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, the turkey season is open now through the month of October. So hopefully one will come by when I'm bow hunting, and that would make my day.
Oh, is it kind of a happenstance thing for you, or do you specifically go out pheasant hunting sometimes too?
Happenstance is a good way to describe it, because there's so many turkeys out there that sooner or later you're going to have a bunch come by your bow stand, and they're in the woods eating acorns right now. They're really not out on the fields that much because they don't like going out into bare soybean fields, but they'll be going through the woods eating acorns just like the deer, and it'll just come trotting by one day, and it's like, okay, here we go.
Do you shoot them then with just your bow, or do you bring a gun with you just in case?
I try with a bow, but if I have an opportunity with the shotgun, I'll take it, and sooner or later, you know, it happens, you know, through the month of October. There's just so many turkeys. It's really kind of the bird of the future, and
yeah,
you know, they're pretty cool. I'm going to pick a small one out like I did last year because it ate really well last year.
Yeah, so. You said the big ones. I mean, yeah, it's pretty for a photo op, but they don't taste real great, you said?
Exactly, yep. So I'm probably the only guy in the United States that wants a small Jake. Everybody wants the big Tom, you know, or the big buck.
But isn't it true, though, when you get the big Tom and you get that photo op? I mean, do you really have to have another one, or do you want to go for what tastes good?
I don't know. Everybody's kind of got their own thing, you know. So that's what's cool about, you know, hunting and fishing in general. Everybody has their own aspirations of what they want to do, and some are trophy hunters, some are just going for the venison, some just want to sit in a tree stand and look at the sunrise. You know, it's just...
Or maybe nap.
Kinds. Everybody's got that. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's, but, you know, I know someone that does that. I'm just saying.
That would be James. Well, and a lot of seasons, too, underway in, you know, North Dakota and other surrounding states. I know we talked with our friend, Hunter Chef Jeff Benda, yesterday, and he was out in Wyoming. He had an antelope there. He had a tag for one in Montana, so he was chasing those, too. But are there antelope, like western South Dakota? Does maybe western North Dakota? But we don't have any in Minnesota, do we? Or do we?
No, not that I know of. And I've hunted antelope before with a bow, and it's very challenging. And that's usually in September when it's super hot. Not my favorite thing in the world, but you got to have connections, you know, for private land to be able to do that. It's pretty tough on public, but yeah. Oh, I just heard some shots. Oh, wow.
Oh, well, we should probably let you go.
Steve needs to get some shots off, Bonnie. Come on.
All right. You get going, and we'll catch up to you next week, and maybe we'll get an update on whatever you happen to catch or bag, I guess.
All right. Sounds good, you guys. Have a great weekend.
You bet. Steve Carney Outdoors. He is brought to you by Auto Fix in Ottertail. You can find out more at autofixrepairs.com. It is 7:24, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Big Game James McCarty will be joining us coming up at 8:10 this morning with your pick six. 8:10 this morning, pick six.
I thought they were time traveling there.
I know. I was trying to do like multi.
Back in time.
I was trying to do something with my fingers and computer as I'm trying to think and talk.
Keep your hands over there.
I am. I keep my hands to myself.
Uh-oh, Bonnie's flustered.
I'm what?
Flustered.
No, there's a problematic dog, and what would you do if you were this dog's owner in Massachusetts? Even has to go before the county board.
It probably depends on why the dog is problematic.
Well, we will tell you coming up next. Happy Friday. Welcome. 7:27. We're heading into the WDAY Radio News Center coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Yes, we are.
I think this would be the worst if you own a dog and your dog.
Please don't tell me something.
Attacks. People or something. This is in Massachusetts, Provincetown. The owners, I don't think the dog has to go before the county board, but the owners have to go before the county board because they have a dog. It's a mixed breed rescue known as Bellamy. And Bellamy has been involved in a couple of attacks on humans as well as another dog. He's accused of attacking the neighbor lady. She was waiting outside for a ride. She was going out to eat, waiting outside, and the dog attacked her. He jumped out of a car.
Oh, grief.
Yeah, jumped out of a car and even went after her, like, unprovoked, right?
Well, dogs can sense pure evil.
I guess.
No, I'm just kidding. That is disturbing. I mean, number one, thankfully, my Luna doesn't do that. I know you've got a dog-in-law or a... I guess, yeah, dog-in-law and a dog in your house. The idea of having to potentially put down an animal because they're too aggressive just kind of breaks my heart. Because a lot of times, I follow a lot of different, like, shelters and animal rescues, like, for love of dogs. There's actually an event coming up next week for your Homeward Animal Shelter here in town. Mm-hmm. I was going to tell
you
about.
For Love of Dogs, doing a big one coming up in November.
There's one next week for Homeward Animal Shelter. And I see pictures of them, and I saw one recently where it's like this dog has been in foster care for 7 months or 9 months or whatever, and then you see another one like that I follow out of Sioux Falls, and they're like, we're really looking for a foster or someone to adopt this dog, mm-hmm. because they're going to be up for euthanasia coming soon, and that I don't like that. And if you own a dog and you can't train it to behave and it attacks people or other dogs,
Don't they say, like, if they attack once, they'll odds probably. Are they're going to do it again?
I mean, and the concern would be is that, obviously, attacking people, that's no
two
bueno.
People, yeah. Yeah, that's Bellamy's no bueno. Attack two people but, and another dog.
But what if it attacks a child?
Yeah.
And because
an elderly person, you know.
Exactly. We've heard stories about either kids or elderly people getting attacked by a dog and they die from the injuries. And you're just like, you cannot have that. But, I mean, mm-hmm. Sometimes a dog just wants that owner to love and care for them. That's all. They just, so many times pets show unconditional love. That's all they know. And for a dog to be that aggressive, I mean,
Something's wrong.
Right? You're going to,
dogs sometimes go after other dogs, but to go after two people.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, you're going to probably have to put it down, and that's just, it's heartbreaking because, I mean, I'm sure the dog for the owner is probably is just fine, but it sees other people or something. I don't know if it sees that other person or reminds them of maybe if it's an adopted dog, maybe it reminds them of a previous owner that was, you know, neglectful and beat it or something,
right.
You know.
It's traumatized.
You know, it's traumatized for some reason, but you can't have it continuing to do that.
Yeah, we'll see what the county board there in Provincetown, Massachusetts decides to do. They're meeting next Tuesday. A hearing on what should be done about Bellamy. It is 7:33. Sun's coming up. A little chilly this morning. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here. Chilly in the building, right?
I just walked in. Like, the studio here has dropped 10 degrees.
It does every morning right around this time. That's why Jason and I usually have, like, a winter
Holy
vest on.
Cow, man. Ooh, I'm going to have to bring a jacket in here. Well, I'll tell you, probably won't need a jacket this afternoon. It's going to be a nice one. You'll need it this morning, though, with temperatures right around that 40-degree mark, a few upper 30s out there as well. No frost, though. Not this morning. We're looking at a lot of sunshine today as well. Now, we'll have north winds, not too bad, about 10 to 15 today, and highs in the low to mid-60s across the area. And then clear skies and a chilly night, but similar to this morning, a lower 40s across the area with southeast winds at about 5 to 15. Those southeast winds ramp up tomorrow, though, up to 30 or higher gusting on Saturday with highs in the upper 60s. A sunny start, then increasing clouds late in the day. We'll see showers come in Saturday night, lasting into very, very early Sunday morning. And then the rest of Sunday looks dry. Windy, though, again, out of the south with highs in the low 70s. And then a few isolated showers or thundershowers on a cold front Sunday evening. And then another windy day on Monday. So we're going to have three windy days here, except Monday the winds turn to the northwest, and that's going to usher in much cooler weather with highs only in the low 50s. Much of next week looks dry now. We were thinking midweek we might see something, but it looks like much of next week looks dry until Friday into Saturday of next week. So we have a little wet weekend this weekend. It looks like we might have another wet weekend next weekend as well. So no snow, though.
Is October kind of typically a wetter month?
It's typically not that wet.
It's
no.
not?
No.
Okay.
Nope. And that's good for harvest,
yeah,
obviously.
Right, right.
But again, we do need the moisture, and we'll see. We're seeing some signs after mid-month onward. We're going to see a few more storms around here. So, and again, this all falls in with the LRC cycle, so we'll have one storm this weekend. That will cycle back around. It looks like we'll have another one next weekend. At least that's the way it appears now. So all these storms will continue to cycle through. And the one thing we do know about the start of the LRC cycle this season is we're going to start the first week or so with above normal temperatures.
Okay.
That's what we've been experiencing so far. And that will repeat itself throughout the upcoming season. So that's some... That's one silver lining, we'll wait and see how these storms pan out too.
Right,
because believe me, we'll pay for it sooner or later.
All right,
just how much will we pay
right.
for it?
Hopefully, not much.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Dino. Weather is brought to you by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated since 1979 with three convenient Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. Time is now 7:36. We got a check of your national news from ABC.
Big Game James McCarty returns with your WDAY Radio Sports Update. Then Dean will be back for your three-degree guarantee.
7:39. Don't forget, coming up at 8:10 this morning, your Pick 6 brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters Ramjack North with Big Game James McCarty. Right now, he has a check on your local sports.
For the first time ever, Banana Ball is coming to Newman Outdoor Field in North Fargo. The fast-paced, highly entertaining version of baseball popularized by the Savannah Bananas will be played in North Dakota when the Firefighters take on the newly announced Indianapolis Clowns. It'll be in June of 2026, the weekend of June 26th and 27th at the home of the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks. In order to get tickets, you have to put yourself into a lottery list by October 31st. It doesn't guarantee you the opportunity to buy tickets, but you get put into that drawing and on a randomization to possibly be able to purchase tickets. Go to bananaball.com/tickets for that. Again, bananaball.com/tickets, and you can enter for an opportunity to be in that raffle for that weekend. On the ice last night, the Minnesota Wild began their 25-26 regular season with a 5-0 dominating shutout victory over the Blues in St. Louis. Philip Gustafson perfect, saving all 26 shots he faced. Ryan Hartman led the offense with a pair of goals, followed up by Matt Boldy, Joel Eriksson-Ek, and Marco Rossi, all adding goals in the victory. Kirill Kaprizov tallied 3 assists. The Wild will welcome the Columbus Blue Jackets to St. Paul for their home opener on Saturday at 7 p.m. Timberwolves preseason basketball in New York last night. They fall to the Knicks in overtime, 100-95. Anthony Edwards pacing the way with 17 points, 16 points and 5 boards from Julius Randle. 13 players scoring in total for the Wolves, officially midway through the preseason. Their fourth of six preseason games will take place at the Target Center on Monday night with another matchup. In the MLB postseason last night in the National League, the Los Angeles Dodgers walking off the Philadelphia Phillies 2-1 in 11 innings. LA wins that series 3-1, and the Cubbies shut out Milwaukee 6-0 to tie up that series at 2 games apiece. Over the weekend, a couple of decisive Game 5s in the divisional series. Tonight on Fox, Seattle hosting Detroit at 7 o'clock. The winner, the opportunity to take on Toronto in the best-of-7 American League Championship Series. And on Saturday, Milwaukee will host Chicago on TBS, with the winner of that one getting to play the L.A. Dodgers in the best-of-7 National League Championship Series. That Saturday night game will have a 7 o'clock first pitch. High school volleyball last night, a handful of sweeps in North Dakota. Fargo Davies over Shanley. Horace Downs North. Cheyenne defeats South. Valley City over Central Cass. And in a 5-setter, Northern Cass edged out Kindred. In Minnesota, the sweeps went the way of Holly over Detroit Lakes. Barnesville over Frazee. Dilworth, Glendon, Felton in a 5-setter, edging out Breckenridge. Some more sweeps with Pelican Rapids falling to Staples Motley. Park Christian defeating Winnemac in a 4-setter. Lake Park Audubon over Bagley. Fargo Force Hockey at Tri-City this weekend. Tonight's puck drop will be at 7:05. Saturday evening's puck drop will be at 6:05. Local college football matchups on Saturday. You'll have Minnesota State Moorhead at UMary at 2 p.m. for the annual Battle for the Paddle. That'll be over on our sister station, The Flag, with a 1 p.m. pregame. Concordia Cobber football is at Hamlin at 1 o'clock on WDAY Radio with the legend Larry Knutson on the call. And then other local college football matchups. NDSU hosting Southern Illinois at 2:30. North Dakota hosts Youngstown at 3. South Dakota State getting Northern Iowa at 2 o'clock. South Dakota at Indiana State at noon. The Minnesota Golden Gophers will be hosting Purdue at 6:30 on the Big Ten Network. And as we round out sports here this hour, for tonight, under the Friday Night Lights in high school football, Moorhead Spud football will be hosting St. Michael Albertville at 6 p.m. with Larry Knutson on the call. And then over on our sister station, The Flag, Dilworth Glendon Felton hosting Barnesville at 7 p.m. with Jason Knight on the call for that one. Sports this hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
Jace has started another Food Fight Friday. If you want to get involved in that, you can find it on our Bonnie and Friends Facebook page. And this time we're fighting over soup, I guess.
Soup is good food.
I love soup. Really.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, it's just a simple one. I mean, a lot of times when you talk to people about soup and you want to talk about kind of your comfort food, I mean, obviously a lot of times people have a love affair with tomato soup and obviously a grilled cheese sandwich that goes with it. A lot of other people, a lot of times when you're not feeling so well, you want that chicken noodle soup. Mm-hmm. So what is your comfort soup, tomato or chicken noodle? I mean, for a lot of people, it's going to be an easy choice. Other people, you know, they might be like, well, both of them are pretty good in their own way, you know, just saying. So I left it at those two. I mean, obviously there's a lot of other soups out there. Maybe we'll talk about James's favorite that he loves to make, chicken and wild rice soup.
Mm, I love it,
too. He just nods and smiles. Yeah, I know he's into the chicken and wild rice.
That's
obviously
one of my favorites.
Mine is probably chili is probably my favorite one. You can even buy a decent one at Costco. It's chili. I mean, some people put it in the soup category, smart aleck.
And, cream of baked potato is another favorite one that I make.
Cream of a lot of stuff is usually pretty good.
Sticks to your ribs. Mm-hmm. But today we're just going to fight over just tomato over and chicken noodle.
You've got two choices, and that's all I'm giving you. Tomato or chicken noodle. What's your comfort soup? We'll get into that a bit later.
You bet. Go to our Bonnie and Friends Facebook page. You can drop your response there. 744, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, your 3-degree guarantee coming up next. 747, behind the scenes, we're yelling at him again down the hallway. He was coming this way, and then he turned tail and went back in his office.
He probably
said,
forgot.
Dude, you're on.
It's like his sheets right here, so I can really do it if I need to. I'm just saying, Dean. I got you, Dean. Don't worry about it. Your 3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store. Yesterday,
he's getting nervous. He's walking faster and faster as he's hustling down the hallway. I don't want Chase to do my job.
I don't know. He didn't put down yesterday's high, so maybe he was wrong.
You can't read that stuff. It's written.
No, I can.
Like,
normally, he puts it right here. Forecast.
What was the forecast yesterday?
Forecast was 74. What was yesterday?
72. We hit 72 yesterday.
Well, that's convenient. It's not on this sheet, but somehow it's within
3 degrees.
Well,
I'll make up what I want to make up. You deal with it. Yeah. Today's 3-degree guarantee, 64 sunny degrees with a little breeze out of the north. Again, today's 3-degree guarantee, 64. Get out and enjoy it.
Thank you, Dino. And the 3-degree guarantee of 64 degrees is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
I'm impressed with the 72. It took a while because it was kind of cloudy and cool. And then later in the day, then the sun actually broke out and it actually warmed up. It actually got really nice out. But it was chilly early part of the day.
Yeah, but it's still one of those days where it hit 72, but at the same time it was breezy. And then with like Dean and I talked earlier this week, I mean, with the lack of humidity, that 72 degrees feels a lot cooler than 72 in the summer, you know?
And it's a slow climb
to get to our high. It takes a while to get there. And then as soon as that sun starts to set, boom, that temperature starts to drop. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of unique right now.
Interesting story I came across out of Massachusetts this morning. UMass Amherst researchers announced a development of cancer prevention vaccine. Now, this is something new, and we'll have the details on that straight ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Setting the mood, setting
Last
the tone here.
Last regular segment of Bonnie and Friends in the 7 o'clock hour before Money and Markets.
Look at that. The crew from Laney's already doing the Feel the Love install. They're already working on it. Just got a message from Sue Barron, Golden Drive Homeless Kids.
Nice.
And her husband Steve, who's rural West Fargo fire chief. They were one of the winners, along with Scott Moan and of the Morehead American Legion and his wife Tammy. Laney's crews are installing their HVAC systems today. They won that contest with Lennox. So, yeah, that's super cool to hear that. All right, I saw this morning. I thought, whoa, this is interesting.
Is it?
Researchers at UMass Amherst are announcing development of a cancer prevention vaccine. The university says the vaccine has been proven to prevent melanoma.
No.
Pancreatic.
There you go.
And triple negative breast cancer in mice.
What's triple negative breast cancer?
It's a thing. I can't tell you what it is off the top of my head.
It sounds like it's kind of negative.
It's triple negative. I mean, if you Googled it, you can find out. I mean, I've heard it before.
Yeah.
It's been proven to prevent these three forms of cancer in mice, with almost all of them being tumor-free for the entire study, despite being exposed to cancerous cells. Scientists say the vaccine teaches the immune system to recognize and attack cancer molecules, much like the flu shot. They believe the vaccine could bring a boost to the fight against cancer. I mean, how many times have all of us heard of somebody, you know, getting melanoma or dying of melanoma, pancreatic cancer? That's a very deadly one. Some people will survive, but a lot of people die of it or different breast cancers. If you can get a vaccine to prevent all this stuff.
Trust me, I mean, that's got my attention. I mean, my mom's side of the family has been riddled with cancer. Mm-hmm. I mean, dad's side, heart issues, mom's side, cancer. So we got that going for us. Mm-hmm. And one of my uncles, melanoma, he's got skin cancer. Has had to have several spots removed. And if we could simply take a vaccine to teach the body to recognize potential of those cells and attack them and get rid of them before they develop into anything, that would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, for all of us. So we'll see where this goes. But, boy, looking super promising in the lab there. Researchers at UMass Amherst, if you want to find out more on that story, you can Google it and look into it. But, you know, might this be something we'll be seeing in the next, you know, year or a couple of years down the road?
I hope so, because, I mean, I think that's one thing that we need to do is we need to find a cure to some of these diseases. I mean, every one of us, I would venture a guess, Bonnie, that every one of us knows someone that's been affected by cancer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've lost grandparents. I've lost, my aunts and my mom have had, you know, breast cancer. I mean, it's something that it affects everybody.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it'd be nice if that was one thing we could kind of scratch off the list of things we need to worry about.
Lost a good friend and coworker to melanoma, lost another one to pancreatic cancer, know another person's wife that died of it too. So, yeah, I mean, stay tuned on that front, but boy, looking really promising in mice right now, and hopefully this is something they are able to get on the market here in the next couple of years, cancer prevention vaccine. Two Walmart products, a very serious recall, risk of death associated with them, and we will talk about that in your Money and Markets straight ahead. 7:56, checking out your Money and Markets. Opening bell rings this morning after stocks closed lower yet again on Wall Street. It comes as the Senate voted down two measures that would have led to the end of the government shutdown. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell by 243 points, S&P 500 lost 18, and the NASDAQ fell 8. Yeah, also fell 18. Yeah,
I gotta look at my holdings, because it's still doing well.
So this is third down day this week.
Yeah, that's why when I looked at it yesterday, it was actually up a bit, and so I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe I just what I own. But anyway. The U.S. has finalized a $20 billion deal aimed at supporting Argentina's economy. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent posted on X Thursday saying the two countries have agreed on a $20 billion currency swap plan. The U.S. will directly purchase Argentine pesos, with Bessent pledging that U.S. Treasury will work to maintain market stability. The announcement comes amid economic uncertainty in Argentina following the 2023 election of President Javier Milei, an ally of President Trump.
This is kind of weird, I think. Maybe not. Amazon will soon be opening pharmacy kiosks at medical offices so patients can get their prescriptions right after their appointments.
Because, I mean, you can do that and have it sent directly to your home, which is good for some of our elderly community. Obviously, they have their prescriptions delivered right to you.
Yeah, some of the walk-ins, I mean, they have like a dispensing machine where you can get them right there, too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Amazon says their kiosks will launch in December at medical offices. They're starting in the L.A. area, and then they plan future expansion. Those wanting to use the service can create an Amazon pharmacy account, schedule an appointment with a medical office that has a kiosk, and then ask their provider to send the prescription to Amazon Pharmacy. The pharmacy app will allow patients to view pricing and insurance copays, and maybe it'll be a cheaper option, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes someone like Amazon gets into the market, maybe they can reduce the cost of some of your prescriptions, you know, depending on obviously whether or not you have insurance or no insurance. Because sometimes there's these programs, these coupons you can get that can really help the price, and I don't really know. I mean, I guess maybe it's on newer drugs when they're trying to get people to get these prescriptions. Two items sold at Walmart are being recalled because they pose a risk of death. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says the retractable safety gates made by Mom Genius were recalled Thursday because a child could get stuck in the opening between the gate and the floor.
Yikes.
Also being recalled is the Scripto Premium Torch Multipurpose Lighter. It's a long name for it, which the Safety Commission says could pose a risk of deadly fire. Well, it's a lighter. And burn hazards to customers. Walmart customers who bought the products are being urged to stop using them immediately.
All right. General Motors Michigan EV manufacturing plant, Factory Zero, will keep about 360 employees laid off for the rest of the year. GM announced August 27th they would partially shut down production starting September 2nd. Now the company says they will continue to evaluate and adjust operations based on the market and consumer demand. The layoffs impacted the GMC Hummer EV and Cadillac Escalade IQ.
Yep, the EV, electronic vehicle market. That's kind of... M&M's Halloween Rescue Squad is returning this year, Bonnie.
Okay.
Leaders with the candy company Mars are running the promotion, offering free candy for folks whose bowls run empty during trick-or-treat. which, by the way, M&M's, mine's run dry already.
Like, what does this even
mean? I don't know. Residents in cities where the deal is applicable will be able to go onto the Halloween Rescue Squad website and request a treat refill starting at 5 p.m. Eastern on October 31st. The candy will be dropped off by drivers with the delivery service GoPuff.
Are you paying for it? Or is it free?
I don't know. I'm hope. Well, I mean, it's
maybe, a free candy. It says free candy in there.
Maybe,
but
I don't know.
Do you really think we're going to see that around here?
No,
probably not.
But my treat bowl is empty already.
Rescue
give me
M&Ms.
Give me some M&Ms, please. The crispy ones, the peanut ones, the caramel ones.
You take them all.
All of them. Yeah. I'm not a chocolate snob.
There you go.
Like somebody in my house.
Pick six with Big Game James McCarty. That's coming your way about 8:10. Brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. Get ready for that. Get your picks filled out. Whoever gets the most right will win a fine prize. And, of course, bragging rights, too.
Mm-hmm.
We are WDAY Fargo. It is 8:01. 8:04, beautiful sunny start to our day. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with a check on our weekend forecast.
Beautiful start to
nice
the day.
Out there.
Yeah, posted yesterday when we saw the clouds early in the day.
That's why I said it took a while for the sun to break
it
through.
Did.
But once it warmed up. Yeah,
that October sun could still... It still warms us up, but boy, once that sun, I know Jace was talking about it, once that sun goes down, man, it cools off quick. And today, if you're thinking of playing hooky, maybe a three-day weekend, I would do today, tomorrow, and Sunday instead of Saturday, Sunday, Monday, because Monday looks kind of
chilly.
Yuck. Yeah, today's a... If you're going to play hooky, today's the day to do it. Sunny skies. Currently, we're in the upper 30s to low 40s. We'll warm it up to about 64 with a north wind at 10 to 15 today. So not too bad of a day for going into mid-October. Tonight, clear skies, a cool one. We'll drop down to 42. Southeast winds will start to increase as we head towards sunrise. And then a windy day on tap for Saturday. Southeast winds. Gusting at or over 30 with highs in the upper 60s. We'll start off with sunshine on Saturday. By evening, we'll see clouds increasing, and then showers and thundershowers come in overnight. And that looks like mainly a valley eastward event. And then Sunday, daytime hours should be dry. Windy, though. Winds continue to blow out of the south. Highs in the low 70s. And another round of showers or thundershowers comes in on a cold front towards evening or early overnight, and then a windy and much cooler day on Monday with highs only in the low 50s with a strong northwest wind. Monday's going to feel raw, so just kind of a heads up. Okay. It will feel like October on Monday.
Ooh.
Still no snow in sight. I do see temperatures next week, though, morning lows, getting down into the upper 20s to near 30, so we'll probably have a hard freeze or at least a widespread frost.
Wow.
For early next week. It's time, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
People are sick of their zucchinis. All righty. Coming up Monday morning, 6:56, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing the Everly Brothers, The Who, Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, and more. Be listening Monday morning right around 6:56. Right here on Bonnie and Friends. Don't forget, yet today, Food Fight Friday. Jace has a soup question out on our Bonnie and Friends Facebook page. If you want to weigh in on that, you still have time. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty is in with your pick six, brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North.
8:10. It's time for your Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. Pick six, your number one pick for complete foundation repair, egress, window insulation, and replacement. All right. I know we didn't have it much last year, and of course, I didn't get out to do it, but think back to last winter, Bonnie. You're going along, snow blowing, and then crack! You hit that uneven sidewalk or large crevice in your driveway. You stop your snowblower. You probably have the snowblower handles jammed into your gut. That's always not any fun. Hands hurt, everything.
Yeah.
But you know what? Not this year. Concrete Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North, they can level that concrete and put an end to your pain. Learn more at pccnd.com. Jimmy Jam, you got one game you had to fill in for the Vikings bye week, but everybody else locally is playing football, so... Take us through those six games for your pick six of the week.
Go to WDAYRadioNow.com. Scroll down to your pick six tab. Click that. You just need an email and a phone number just so we can contact you. if and when you do end up winning the pick six, we already have an entry in this morning. Andrew.
Oh, Andrew.
No, no, Andy Slackin.
Andy, come on.
Yet.
Let's go.
Andrew. Get it in.
Yeah, we both filled them out, and coincidentally enough, we have the same bracket with a six-point difference on the pick six game of the week. So game number one of the week, that's Minnesota State Moorhead, the Dragons heading to Bismarck to take on UMary in the annual battle for the paddle. I'm not giving any input on this one because... I'm broadcasting the game.
He's going to be leaning one way.
We all know where I'm leaning on that. That's all you need to know on that one. Game two, that's Cobber football at Hamlin. Larry Knutson on the call 1 p.m. on Saturday right here on WDAY Radio. Cobber football, if you're going to make a push for the postseason and a playoff bid, you got to win this ball game. And so,
is Hamlin good or not? I don't know much about them.
They're competitive.
Hamlin Pipers?
Pipers,
yeah,
correct.
I got it right.
Yep, the Pipers. Yeah, this is a matchup that the Cobbers need, and we'll see. I'll pull up the MIAC standings real quick here for you.
Is there a playoff like a MIAC championship game that gets you in the playoffs? Is that how it works in D3 or what?
You have your two as of right now, it's between Bethel and St. John's, and Bethel beat St. John's last week, 17-14.
Ooh.
17-10. It was a one score ball game regardless. Right. So the Cobbers, Hamlin is 1-3 on the season. They've lost all three MIAC games so far.
Okay.
As for the Cobbers, they're sitting at 3-1 overall. They won 2 out of 3 games so far in league play. So this is a game on the road that you need to win if you're going to try and keep your postseason hopes alive. And the reasoning just for that is, I mean, in a 10 game regular season.
Yeah, there's not much room for error.
8-2, that's. Yeah. You got to have a good schedule in order to do that, and you still got to play St. John's and Bethel. Yet.
Oh,
so you're 3-1 on the year, so you gotta
win the games you're supposed. I would say that.
Exactly.
I guess my question, you've answered it. To me, it seems like even though it's on the road, Concordia should be a slight favorite, not by much, but you're on the road. But
this is a game that I think they should win by probably 2 scores.
Oh, okay. if
they really should.
Yeah, okay.
And that's just my opinion. That's just me talking, but.
They've got
the ball games are a lot
to
tougher once you play them. Ask the Dragons last week. I tell you what, triple option team scoring 17 points in 7 minutes. What a game. Yeah. They won in overtime somehow. Game three of the week, that's going to be the one that replaces the Vikings here this weekend. That's going to be a Big Ten matchup where College Game Day will be. Top 10 matchup nationally. Number 3, Oregon hosting number 7, Indiana. I tell you what, Cignetti has got those Hoosiers. They're locked and loaded. They're rocking and rolling. Oregon, though, man, they went to Penn State for a whiteout.
Yep.
2 weeks ago, and they took care of business in overtime. If they're gonna do that with 110,000 people all wearing white top to bottom and screaming at them saying that we're gonna go and take out the Ducks, and the Ducks are able to get it done. Much as I love the story of Indiana and Coach Cignetti. They've proved me wrong a couple of times. It's just tough to go against Oregon at home with what Coach Dan Lanning is doing and that uber-talented five-star across the board roster.
Of a victory is that one against Penn State now, knowing that Penn State got handled by UCLA, who hadn't won a game this year? UCLA getting beat by Vegas and beat by... I don't remember, San Diego State or somebody that
I couldn't even tell you, man. I really have no idea what's going on.
Parity in college football this year, ladies and gentlemen.
It's something, to say the least. Game number 4 of the week, we're going to the Valley, North Dakota, battling Youngstown State.
This one's in the Alera Center, right?
Yep, it's at the it's in Grand Forks, so that does make a difference on it.
It does.
We saw Youngstown last weekend. I mean, man, they gave
SDSU,
the Jacks everything they could handle. They were up on the Jacks 17-7. SDSU survived 35-30. Just as spooky as things are in Youngstown, Ohio, outside, they are even a little spookier inside in Grand Forks for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I would say the two weirdest places in college football to play, especially in the subdivision, for whatever reason, Youngstown, Ohio, weird things happen, but they're even odder in the Alera Center for whatever darn reason in Grand Forks.
USD has gone to Grand Forks twice in the last decade-ish or so, and USD at two different times had big leads in those games against UND, and they
lose by 10 or 14.
They lost by a touchdown in one, and they lost the other one by 3 or something like that. So, realistically, these are two evenly matched teams. But if UND wants to get to where they want to go, get to the playoffs, and move out of the first round, etc., this is a game that UND has to have. But thankfully for them, it is at the Alaris Center in Grand Forks.
Well, Coach Eric Schmidt, he's doing an incredible job in his first year at the helm with UND. So I'm going Hawks in this one. I just, they're at home. They're in Grand Forks, man. Spooky things happen. It's October. Ooh, go UND. I'm confident in that one. Game number five of the week, Minnesota, the Golden Gophers hosting Purdue, the Boilermakers.
That's a big one.
It's a it's going to be in primetime on the Big Ten Network at 6:30 on Saturday night. So now I have something to do on our way home from Bismarck.
There you go.
Looking forward to that matchup. The Gophers are going to the throwbacks, helmets at least. So
the
they're gonna have the white helmet with the gold strip and then two maroon strips on the outside of that.
Gray face mask and the number on the
side.
Yeah,
and then the number on the side. Yep.
Big M.
It's all right, but I like the Goldie throwback. I like the full Goldie doing the stiff arm of the football. I'm a big fan of that one. If the Gophers are going to finish the season above 500, in all honesty, with that redshirt freshman quarterback, he's been tremendous still for the Gophers. You got to win these type of ball games, because we saw last week against Ohio State, they were up 3-0, they lost 42-3. You still got matchups. Penn State, I don't know. Are they a paper tiger? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they weren't fully recovered from that kind of really that deflation of that home overtime loss to Oregon, and they had to flip a couple of time zones to get over to UCLA. So, you know, a game that gets played at noon.
Penn State showed up in the second half. I mean,
exactly. That, so. Yeah, they had. So for whatever reason, right? There's just a couple of those weird, wonky things of that. You got to win these ball games. You still got Iowa and Wisconsin on the docket. You go to Oregon in a couple weeks, right? Geez. So I mean, you've got, regardless of how good Iowa is or is not with or without Mark Gronowski, regardless of how good Wisconsin is or is not in total, those are ball games that are going to come down to probably the final drive in the fourth quarter because of the rivalry nature of them. So you got to beat Purdue this weekend. So I'm going Gophers in that one, and we'll see how things shake out. And then your pick six game of the week, North Dakota State, the Bison, hosting Southern Illinois, a top 10 national game. It's going to be a dogfight, I think, early, but I really do believe that things are going to go similar to what happened at Illinois State last weekend for the Bison, where I think it's going to be back and forth, counter punches in the first half. I think the Bison, though, take control in the third quarter instead of the fourth quarter. I think this is a ball game where you could see it being like 17-14 at the half, right there neck and neck, and then in the third quarter the Bison get a score, then they get one in the fourth, they have the game kind of wrapped up, and then you get a few points late by SIU. I'm going Bison 34-17 in this one, because I really do think that I can see it being, you know, even 14-10 at the half right there. Yeah. And then in the third quarter, the Bison will get that kickoff, and they'll just kind of be off and running from there behind that Fargo Dome crowd.
I'd guess like 38-17. And if you can go on the road and get a win against Illinois State. Now, I'm not quite sure of the difference between Illinois State and Southern Illinois as far as who's better. But they're both very good teams. I think they're both going to be in the playoffs. But I think this one, especially being at the Fargo Dome, just like you said, maybe it's close early, Bison find a way to pull away. I don't think it'll be like the South Dakota game where it's going to be like 54-17 or whatever it was, or 13.
Yep.
I think Southern Illinois will keep it closer longer than South Dakota did, but I ultimately think NDSU is going to win at home, and quite honestly, they don't lose often at home in the Fargo.
They don't lose often at all. What are they, like 190-21 in their last, like, 211 games
something like that.
Sure. I mean, it's bananas.
Right. I mean,
since 2011,
that was just in their overall games. I'm just not even singling out the home ones. I mean, the home losses have been been a SDSU one. There's been a couple South Dakota ones. I know, probably a couple SDSU ones. There's a James Madison in the playoffs. I mean,
the national semifinal back in 16.
But being basically, you can go back and highlight those specific games. So yeah, that's going to be an interesting one this weekend.
A lot of variety in our picks that have come in so far, so must not be as
some people
easy
trust
as last
me, some
week.
People don't.
Yeah.
Really, the one that I, well, there's two games I think there's consensus of. I think people are confident in Oregon, and I'm telling you, Coach Cignani in Indiana, they can make us all look like fools, and then most are pretty darn confident in the Bison for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
The success they've had the last 15 years has obviously laid into that.
Yeah, we'll find out how it all shakes out. Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. Sponsors are Pick 6. You can get involved in that. All you got to do is go to WDAYRadioNow.com. Look for the Pick 6 midway down the page. You can do it on your mobile app as well. Get involved in that. And, James, what, by 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, or when are picks due by?
We have till noon tomorrow.
Till noon tomorrow.
Till noon.
So get your picks in, and winner gets bragging rights, of course, and win a fine prize as well. We've got your Food Fight Friday coming up next. Do want to let you know that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Beverage Wholesalers has again partnered with the Sanford Health Foundation to raise money to support our local Edith Sanford Breast Cancer Centers.
Yes, look for Miller Lite and Leinenkugel Pink Ribbon promotions at participating bars in October so you can help save the cans. And look for specials at your neighborhood local liquor stores on cases of Miller Lite whose sales go toward this great cause. This message is brought to you by Beverage Wholesalers here in Fargo. Friday food fight. This one wasn't exactly close. It was a simple question. If you had to choose, which is your comfort soup? Tomato or chicken noodle? Now, both are great. Obviously, most of us know tomato soup goes great with a grilled cheese. I mean, you don't necessarily have a grilled cheese when you have chicken noodle, but you can have a sandwich of sorts. I like dipping my sandwiches in chicken noodle, but the overwhelming consensus was chicken noodle.
Yeah.
Although, Barbara, she kind of skirted the rules. She said chicken vegetables. So, I mean, I'll let that slide. Maybe she doesn't like the noodles. But we did have a couple people say tomato. Jamie said that. Of course, Jim said you got to throw in a slice of ham on your grilled cheese. So then it's a ham and cheese with your tomato soup. But, I mean, I don't think you can go really wrong in either way. But I'm not saying that the people that picked chicken noodle dislike tomato soup, and there's some might not like tomato soup.
I can't stand tomato soup.
Really?
Because it's got like a sweet taste to it. I don't like anything sweet on my normal food. Don't like it at all. My girls like it, tomato basil soup, but I do not like it at all.
I do like tomato soup. It's kind of thick and creamy, you might say, and I like tomato flavor. I don't like to eat tomatoes. But I like tomato flavor.
Campbell's soup, my mom would make it growing up. And you had an option. You could have put milk in it or water in it, right?
Yeah.
Because the milk kind of made it creamy or whatever. Yeah, but I never cared for either.
We had at least 2% milk at home. So I think a lot of times we would probably make it just simple with water if the kids were doing it. But like my mom or somebody did it, they might have done it with milk or whatever. So made it a bit thicker. But yeah, I mean, either way. I mean, it was just the Campbell's condensed soup. But Jim had a great point on there. Either one of them, as long as they're made from scratch, you know, that kind of is the determinant.
And Muff just said, he prefers chicken noodle, but he says he'll eat Campbell's tomato, but he says he does not like homemade, too thin and watery, and the chunks of tomato turn him off. So it's a taste preference.
Well, you can make homemade tomato soup and make it thick and creamy and not chunky. Yeah,
like
you do
that
the immersion blender. Yeah, and that's what I was thinking because I don't like chunks of tomato either in my stuff. I would prefer it to be creamy and kind of smooth.
I'm not a huge tomato fan. If you give it to me on a BLT, well, hello, then I love it.
What about your chicken noodle soup? I mean, do you want just noodles and carrots and celery and chicken in there, or do you want other stuff in there?
I put in a ton of vegetables. I'll put zucchini in there. I'll put squash in there if I'm making it homemade.
You fancy
my
like
soup
that.
Is healthy except for the sodium content, obviously.
Yeah, you got to watch your sodium, Bonnie. I don't know if you know that or not.
All right, be listening next Friday for another Food Fight Friday right here on Bonnie and Friends, and we always post it on our Facebook page the day before.
Absolutely, yep.
It is 8:25, time now to get to the American Ag Network. It is Fry-yay Coffee Club joining us in studio. They're already dancing. You guys are ready for your Fry-yays as well, huh?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. Some of ours start sooner than others. We're like, there's like four of us are going to get stuck in the doorway between me, Dean, Jason, James. We're all going to be running out at the same time. We're going to get wedged. We're going to have to call in the fire department with the jaws of life to get us out of here.
Yeah, what would Dean say? I've already got my weekend Speedo on. So,
but then he remembered that Bridget is gone today, so he can't leave early. He's out.
So close.
Oopsies. The other three, I'll be throwing elbows to get out the door before two of them. Yeah, looking forward to the weekend. You know, weekends, right?
I look forward to every weekend.
I do, too. Mm. I don't know. This week's been kind of a long week, so just looking forward to it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree. It has been a long week.
Yeah. What are you guys doing on the Friday edition of the coffee?
Well, Veterans Friday today, and we've talked with Tony before about Veterans Court, but we've never had anybody on with us that is actually gone through Veterans Court.
Oh, very nice.
And today we do.
Okay.
So it's going to be him and Tony, and that is actually my brother.
That's great. Oh, okay. Sure. Great.
So I know you know my brother, Bonnie. Ronnie knows my brother. So my brother will be with us today.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing. And then, you know, it's Friday, so we're going to have a whole heck of a lot of fun. We're going to go over old wives' tales as well and how maybe sometimes people took them way too seriously.
Those are funny. And sometimes
I think they're funny, too.
How did that even start back right? in the day? But I don't know. Maybe people were more superstitious or they weren't – like their BS filter wasn't up like mine is.
Well, if mom and dad or, you know – Grandma told us the story. We believed it.
Right? Well, I hear it. Because
they would not lie to us.
No.
They would.
When dogs are out there eating the grass, it's going to rain. Okay, Dad, if you say so.
Except for the fat guy in a white suit with a beard. They might have lied about that.
Here, if you got an extra long.
Yeah, but those are good lies.
Fat guy in a white suit.
Extra long toenail on your
red suit.
Big toe.
Oh, you didn't say red suit. They said white suit.
There'll be snow.
Oh, really? I've not heard that one before.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
I just made it up.
sounds about right.
I just made that up.
All right, listen for the old wives' tales, which probably aren't true. We'll see.
More than likely not.
Yeah. All right, let's get out of here.
All right, you betcha.
All right.
You bet, Bonnie and friends. We'll be back 5 o'clock tomorrow or Monday morning. Enjoy. I'm not coming back tomorrow. I'm busy tomorrow.
I'll be on the air on the other station tomorrow.
Yeah, you will be. Monday morning, 5 o'clock. Stay tuned. Coffee Club, Janae and Ronnie. That will be coming up next.